what about a great doctor? Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Today is Thursday. Today is May the 2nd. It is sunny and it's warm in Northeast Ohio, and I think all of us that are here are happy because here comes the sun. Na, na, na. Here comes the sun. You're on. Go pull that one over.
Mark, hey, Tracy, I'm falling apart over here, Tracy. Over there. This is way beyond my capability and pay grade.
Today is the National Day of Prayer, and they want you to know. Let me make sure. That's at 12 noon. So if you get in your car real quick and you're down in the Salem area, go down to the Village Green in the Salem area at the Chamber of Commerce building today at 12 noon, which was started about nine minutes ago. And there's going to be a 45-minute program down there when the Mayor Berlin is going to be proclaiming the city of Salem. There's also one downtown Youngstown beginning at 12 noon, so they want you to know that. But today is the National Day of Prayer, and we do need to pray for our country because our country definitely needs prayer. And Mark Manchi, you know, first and third Thursdays.
Hey, Tracy,
we are honored to have Mark Manchi in the house.
I am just so wonderful being here. I can't stand myself. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
I'm just enjoying this beautiful weather and sunshine, and I gulped down some pork fried rice before I came here, and I'm feeling good. I got my headache.
I told you to take your time. Yeah, I don't. They act like I'm a slave driver. I tell people, you know, if you don't come in here and you, I don't let you eat for lunch. I'm not a slave driver. You should have heard the things that they said about me, Mark.
If I don't eat, before a certain time, you know, you're going to hear funny things over the radio. You don't want to hear from my stomach over here growling and carrying on. Scares me when that happens.
Growling, all that kind of garble stuff is cool as long as it comes from the belly and the burps. If it comes from the tutor, we got to talk.
Yeah, we have a chat. Yeah, but no, this is
because we have no fans here. We have no nothing here. No. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. We'll make this pretty much an open mic day. I do have a guest coming on. He has written a book called The Thrill of the Rookie, and his first name, I'm going to say, is Ozani. Now, it may be wrong, and I'm not even going to attempt. I asked the bright one in the room, who's Mark Manchi, because he's brighter than I am, to pronounce the last name, and he gave it back to me. So,
it's National Day of Prayer. I think we have to pray to figure out how to pronounce the guy's name. Looks like a great book, though.
Yeah.
It looks like a terrific book.
It's about a young man, and he's going to call in at 12:30, so I'm looking forward to speaking with him. It's about a young man who came here with $400. He came to the United States with $400 in his pocket in the summer of 1985. And he was enrolled in a state college, state university, but he did not have money for room and board. And he's going to talk to you a little bit about his story. And the reason why I have people like that come on, we need to know that there are obstacles that people come here, and we talk about immigration. and we talk about legalities and the America being the so bad place to live, but people come here and succeed, and it's still the land of milk and honey. It's still the land of dreams, but you got to work the work. Because if one person can do it, then other people can too. And this man is an African American, which means he had obstacles of color. So the color really might be, the racism may be there, but you have to overcome the racism and just get out the way and say, I'm not going to let anything stop me, especially people who say that you can't make it.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you about my Uncle John?
You talked a little bit about him, and you tell us stories about Uncle John in spurts.
Yeah, Uncle John was an interesting person. He came over from Italy when he was 20, but he went via Britain. And when he went to Britain, the British Army drafted him and sent him to Russia to fight in to fight for the White Russians versus the Red Russians during the Russian Revolution. And so he was stationed over in Siberia during the Russian Revolution. When he got back to Britain, he came here. He had $15 in his pocket, and he started a major Italian import-export business here and succeeded. But he moved up to Cleveland. And he lived above a restaurant in Cleveland. It was an Italian restaurant in Cleveland. And he didn't have any way to make money. So he went down to the owner of the restaurant and said, how about if we bag some of your stuff and take it door to door and sell it? And he did. They took some dried spaghetti, you know, some home, you know, canned spaghetti sauce, and he went around and he sold those things door to store in Cleveland. And the owner was very, very happy, and the owner tried expanding that end of his business. Now, that guy's name was Buordi, B-U-O-R-D-I, and we know him as Chef Boyardee. And my uncle and him remained friends until they died. They had side-by-side condominiums down in Florida. But, you know, these guys worked hard. They went out and they did stuff.
Your Uncle John?
Yeah.
Martha Stewart?
Yes.
You know, Martha Stewart made her empire, and it wasn't that long ago.
Yes.
Selling pies door to door.
Sure.
I'm going to be perfectly honest, you know, with my own business. Business is not easy.
It's hard, and you're working all the time. You're working all the time.
Business is not easy, and it's not your friend. And competition doesn't welcome you to come in and say, hey, I love you, let me help you make money. That's not how
that
works.
That ain't going to happen. In fact, they'll come in there and say, we're going to do everything we can to keep you from
making
money. Absolutely. The other way around.
And it's really funny how that works. And you don't know what to do, and you are perfected in your craft, but you don't know. But you can make it. And you shouldn't know. People shouldn't allow anyone to stop them from becoming anything based upon pressure. Because, you know, if you really think about pressure and gold or pressure and diamonds, you got to have heat and pressure to make both.
Yeah.
If you really think about it, a diamond is made out of heat.
Yeah.
And pressure.
And you know what? It develops your skills. And the key to, you know, I've come from the school, there's no such thing as luck. You make your luck. God guides you through life and directs you in certain directions. And if you go the way God guides you and the direction that he sends you and work very hard, you're going to succeed because you have your own motivation and you've got God's force behind you, giving you a tailwind along the way. And, you know, that's what you do. Yeah, you're more religious than I am when it comes to certain things, but there's one psalm that I keep the words in my briefcase,
okay,
you know, back at the office. You know, and it's the, what's the Lord is my shepherd? That's the
Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Yeah, that's 25 or 26. The Lord is my strength and my salvation, whom then shall I fear?
And the Lord is the light of my salvation, whom shall I fear?
Yeah, and that's something that, you know, when you got trouble, you put that and you go forward and you use that. It works.
But you gotta have faith. You gotta have faith. I'm serious. And you gotta have hope.
And it's faith in God and faith in yourself.
Yes, but your faith in God gives you faith in yourself because
yeah.
He gives you the power to do things that are outside of your own circumference if
yeah.
you choose.
Yeah.
And what the world is doing, what the system is doing right now, it's stripping your hope. It's
yeah.
stripping your faith and your faith in yourself your faith in your God, the faith in yourself, and your faith in one another.
Yeah.
And no man is an island. You know, when you look at your Uncle John, he needed other people.
Yeah.
And Boyardee needed other people. And it means something. And people need to really take a look at their surroundings. I was at an Achievers seminar this morning, and there was a guy who was talking, and he was talking about we need to make sure that we look at the people that we have in our life, and those people who are the negatives, we need to get them out.
Yeah.
Anyone that tells you you can't become what you choose to become, you need to walk away.
My wife, excuse me, was just accepted into a program down in Columbus. And it's a relatively prestigious program to go through, and not very many people get accepted into it. She'll be going through it for about 2 years with mentors from Virginia and Nebraska. We were at Perkins the day the notice came in, and for eating dinner at senior night, because 20% is 20%. And a lady came up to us, and that my wife knew, and we were chatting with her a little bit. And I was so proud of her, and I said, you know, my wife got accepted into this particular program. And the woman looked at her, and she said, that's BS, but she didn't use the BS. But she said, that's just a waste of time, and blah, 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 and tear it down, and tear it down, and tear it down, and tear it down. And I looked at her, and I said, what makes you say that? She said, well, I got accepted into it, and I didn't do anything with it because I thought it was BS. I said, yeah. I said, that's the difference. I said, I thought going to law school was BS, too. I got the degree, and the guy who felt like I did didn't. And that's kind of how it works. These people, particularly here, this area, there's a lot of people that try to tear you down, and it's endemic to this
area. But I think it's
area.
Human nature even all around, because if you look at what's going on in our country, you know, the reason why we're not getting ahead is because we're tearing everyone down.
Yeah.
Because people are in competition with you, and they really don't want to see you get ahead, you know. And we blame it on race, we blame it on religion, we blame it on, you know, socioeconomic, we blame it on a lot of things. But in actuality, hurt people or threaten people want people to stay where they are, because if I tear you down, it makes me feel as though I'm big.
Yeah.
And if you make it, it makes, you know, it's like if I go to work and I do my job and you go to work and you don't do your job, I make you look bad because I'm working.
Yeah.
And it's the same, you know, it's the same mentality. And we are going, I was telling someone this morning, at one time there used to be a pride in going to work.
Yes.
And doing a job.
Yes.
And if your product was made in the United States of America, you knew you had USA proud.
Right.
And we have lost for a number of reasons, but we have lost the USA proud and the work ethic that we have.
And, you know, part of the problem is that for so many years after the war, things just came easy here because we were the only game in town. We're in competition right now. We're in competition with people who work harder than we do, who study more than we do, who sacrifice more than we do. And guess who's going to win that? They are. And we need to get that back. We need to get our drive. We need to get our mojo back as a country. That we can do it. We all countries, everywhere, people everywhere have setbacks as they go forward. The trick is to just keep going and pick yourself up and get going and do what you need to do in order to get the job done. And if you're looking for validation from other people, forget it. You're only going to get validation from yourself. If you're pleased yourself with what you've accomplished, what other people think doesn't mean a hoot, you know. And I want
to say that because I look at our young people, and you need affirmation.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to seek out people who are going to affirm you once you affirm yourself. People want to be appreciated for what they do, and those of you who are business owners out there. You can't drive people without making them feel as though they have self-worth in your company.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And it's not only in work. You know, I'm involved in a lot of organizations, and you know that, Tracy.
Yeah.
And I work very hard on these organizations and trying to get some stuff done that I think needs to be done. And sometimes I go out with some of my friends, and they sit back, and they sit there, and they laugh at me, and they criticize me, and they make fun of me. And I used to get upset. I went home feeling pretty bad until one day, you know, like the light bulb went off in my head like I see in the cartoon. And finally I was sitting with these individuals and I looked at them and I said, you know what? What have you done? At least I'm doing something. What have you done? And that was the end of the discussion. And
that was it?
And that was it. That shut them up. And you got to have a little bit of faith in yourself and pride in yourself and confidence in yourself. You can do it. Everyone has obstacles, whether it's an obstacle of language, whether it's a physical disability, whether it's an issue of race, whether it's an issue of a disability you're working with. Everybody has problems that they have to overcome in order to succeed.
And they have to do it, no matter who.
No matter who.
I mean, I was telling someone, you know, someone told me that wealth is a responsibility. And, you know, people think that money solves problems, but money brings responsibility.
Sure,
and
it
does. And if you don't know what to do with it, it will consume you.
Yes.
And so, you know, we were talking about, you know, the racetrack here in Mahoning Valley, the Racino, got to go ahead to continue to build, and it's going to be built next year.
Yeah.
And how gambling and these internet cafes were going to impact our community.
Yeah.
And so the people that have, you know, when I look at gambling, the people that have the money to spend don't spend as much money as the people who don't have the money.
Yeah.
And it's kind of sad because you look at people who don't have the money, who squander the money trying to get rich quickly.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't work that way.
It just
you don't get rich quickly. Some people do from time to time. They go win the lottery, which is, you know, chances of that happening are slim to none. But that Racino is going to be interesting here. You know, I have mixed feelings about it. I'm glad they're building it. I question whether or not there's going to be a whole lot of ancillary development with it. I hope I'm wrong. I don't think so. But, hey, I've been wrong more than once in my life. In fact, I'm wrong most of the time.
Well, I don't know, because when I look at what's happened down in Argosy, down in, I want to say Argosy is down in Kentucky.
Yeah.
The boat gambling that they have off of the thing out there.
Yeah.
And when I see what's happened with, you know, they have to have some support systems that come with it.
Yeah. The thing that I look at, and we were talking about it at breakfast the other morning with some of the guys, is if you look at Mountaineer, and there's not a whole lot of development around Mountaineer. There's just nothing there. You just wonder how many of these things an area can support, because they built it here in Mahoning County.
Got one in Cleveland?
Yeah, they got one in Cleveland. They've got one in Pittsburgh. They've got one up around Erie. They've got one, you've got Mountaineer. You've got one a little further down the river. There's another one. You know, we're basically within, you know, 50 minutes drive of any number of these places, two of which have gaming tables.
That's true.
So, you know, I hope it's successful. I want this area to succeed. And so I'm going to keep my fingers crossed.
I think it's going to make a lot of people a lot of money, but it won't be the people who are working there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's only so much you can make, and what they'll do is people will get jobs there. So there'll be X number of jobs that will come with the Racino.
Sure.
And they'll pay taxes into the Mahoning County, you know, pot.
And jobs are good and taxes are good.
Jobs are good and local taxes are good.
Local taxes are good, yeah.
But the cost of doing business when it comes to when you build your foundation on luck.
Yeah.
Because that's what I call this. You know, Racinos, horses, ponies, gambling, that's all games of chance. It's all luck. When you base your income on it, you don't really know what you're going to get with it. And there's no guarantee that it's not going to take more money than you actually get out of it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, people are, if when I look at gambling, and I may be wrong, and if the number is 347-945-5229. What I see is people who have addiction spend their money on gambling when they need to spend it on their family.
I've never seen the attraction because I don't gamble. I went to last time I went to Las Vegas with my wife. We went there. I won $100 at the slot machines, and that was it for the next 5 days. I didn't gamble anymore.
Why don't you gamble?
I prefer to do. I gamble where it's safe. I gamble in the stock market, so I suppose that kind of takes care of my desire to play stuff, but I just don't gamble. I never have. I was never any good at it. I'm no good at cards. I can't even use the slot machines now because you can't put a quarter in. You got to put these cards in, and I can't figure out how to use them. I'm not that smart.
Well, wait until you see these lottery terminals.
Yeah.
I'm serious. The lottery terminals, I was at up in Cleveland a couple weeks ago when they opened up Thistledown.
Yeah.
The Racino there.
Yeah.
I have no idea what those people were doing, and they were rooting for this machine that was automated. And they were cheering. They weren't touching any buttons. They weren't doing anything, but they were doing something, and they were cheering, and we were all standing around trying to figure out what in the world are you cheering for? Because I'm so confused. So I don't think this is good, but it's going to happen. And so I wish you the best success. How's that?
Yeah, we want it to succeed. We want our area to succeed.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm going to take a break, and when I come back, hopefully I'll bring my guest. Mark Manchin and I are sitting here on Thursday. Today is the 2nd of May. The sun is shining. April showers are possibly going to bring May flowers, and hopefully we're going to have nice and warm weather for the rest of the weekend. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
At an all-time high, just folks walking around with their heads in the sky. City's a flame in the summertime.
No, the beat goes on.
Revolution, got control of sound, so shooting rockets to the moon, kids going up the moon. Politicians say most active will solve everything.
And the band played on.
For a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com. I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News. The Ohio Racing Commission agreed yesterday to allow Penn National to move forward with plans to build a racino in Austintown. The facility will be built near Route 46 and the I-80 interchange in Austintown. A license transfer from Beulah Park near Columbus to Austintown has also been approved. The Austintown Board of Education has found a buyer for the former middle school property on Mahoning Avenue. A development company from Akron has agreed to purchase the site. LRC Development Company says it will demolish the building and build a retail complex. And a Poland man was sentenced yesterday in Columbiana Municipal Court for his role in a March 2012 fatal accident that killed an East Liverpool man. 32-year-old Michael Bayer was sentenced to 90 days in jail on charges of vehicular manslaughter in the death of 35-year-old David Mayfield. You're up to date. I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
The next 4 years are crucial to continue the progress we've made in the city of Youngstown. As your next mayor, I will work to rebuild our neighborhoods, create and retain jobs, and fund our safety forces. I have a proven record of public service. As Mahoning County Commissioner, I provided fiscally sound and innovative solutions to managing budgets and the bottom line. I will bring that same experience to the mayor's office. I'm John McNally. I would appreciate your vote for mayor of the city of Youngstown. Our best days are ahead. Let's keep moving forward.
Paid for by McNally for mayor.
Mom, I had the best dream.
Well, good morning to you, too.
Okay, so I was a knight. I had a sword, and our house was a castle. There was this angry dragon. It was kind of scary.
Oh, yeah?
But I protected the castle.
Oh, that's my brave little man. I'm glad our castle is safe.
Your home is your castle, and sometimes you need help defending it. The National Association of Realtors supports maintaining homeowner tax incentives because they make home ownership more affordable for more families. Learn more at houselogic.com.
You've heard it all before. Gold and silver prices are at record levels, and you've heard all the promises from the out-of-town companies saying they'll pay the highest prices. But can you really be sure?
Everybody says the same thing. It's spinning in everyone's head, but where do you go? You go to First Choice Coin in Boardman, paying highest prices guaranteed.
Meet Tom, owner of First Choice Coin and Jewelry in Boardman, and he'll make sure you get the highest price for your unwanted gold or silver.
We pay the highest prices guaranteed. Check around, get your prices, and we guarantee we'll be the highest prices paid for your gold and silver.
And what makes First Choice different?
We're locally owned. We have many return customers. We have a lot of people that check prices, and they end up at our store. And we also offer jewelry repair, jewelry appraisals. We have a GIA graduate gemologist on staff.
First Choice Coin and Jewelry, 7807 Market Street in Boardman, next to Boardman Nissan. Call 330-629-9990. See store for gold guarantee details.
This is Henry Nemens, inviting you to shop Nemens IGA on the square in Canfield, the Lincoln Knowles Plaza, or Creed Street in Struthers. Nemens IGA meats are USDA choice. Nemens Bakery makes all cakes from scratch, the very best Italian bread in town. Nemens IGA, quality you deserve. Quality, selection, and value. That's Nemens IGA.
1-800-530-WSOM. or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600, and I found my guest because I screwed up. I usually book everybody for the bottom of the hour, and I was sitting there talking with Mark and talking with you guys, and, you know, you guys have to know me how, you know, how backwards and how slow I am. And so I forgot, and then he was actually scheduled for the top of the hour. And I'm going to ask him to pronounce his name so that I do not butcher it too bad. Hello, how are you, darling?
Oh, I'm doing great. My name is Osaze Ehigiata.
Okay, one more time.
Osaze Ehigiata. The last name sounds like alligator, but it's Ehigiata.
Ehigiata.
Okay. Ehigiata. Oh, my. Jose.
You're doing great.
We're going to have fun with this one.
Oh, you just go with the first name, Osaze.
Osaze, yeah. I can get her. I'm going to have to practice that. That's a word I have to practice. Okay. Osaze, you're talking with Tracy and friends here on WSOM in Youngstown, Ohio. And I am in studio with a friend of mine by the name of Mark Manji. And I am going to ask you, tell us a little bit about you before we even get into your book.
Oh, my name is Osaze Ehigiata. I am an immigrant from Nigeria. Came in 1985. Right now I live in Plano, in Texas. I have a wife, Joanne. I have three boys, Ryan, Justin, and Matthew. I am the author of the novel Trail of the Rookie.
Why did you write a book? What did you think was so special about your life that you decided to sit down and pen a book?
Oh, I was motivated to write this book because I have this message that needs to be told about immigrant challenges and experience in the United States.
And what is that story?
The story is about beating the odds in spite of all adversities that anybody can reach their goal in the United States if they have a good work ethic and stay on track, stay out of trouble, and apply themselves. It doesn't matter if they are black, white, or green, because the myth people have is that success here is for certain color, certain set of people. No, that's not true. You can come from the moon and everybody loves a winner. So if you are successful, they will learn to pronounce your name no matter how difficult it is. So
you mean to tell me, so you're from Nicaragua, Nigeria. You're from Nigeria, Nicaragua.
Wrong continent. We've got to go halfway around the world.
In West Africa.
You're from West Africa. You're from Nigeria.
Yes, ma'am.
And you're trying to, which means you are an African American. You are a black African. You didn't come here with light skin and wavy hair, right?
No, I'm an African.
Just making sure. You're African American. You're
yes.
a black African.
Black as Kunta Kinte.
And you're trying to tell me that the color of my skin should not limit me? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. It should not limit you at all. We are only limited by our state of mind because our state of mind reflects in what we do. That's what people want us to believe. It should not. You can do anything. You can go anywhere. You can achieve just as. I have a first degree and a master's degree. I went to school with black, Hispanic, and white. You know, the black people are just as smart. Some of my help sometimes is from black sister because black women are hardworking. So it doesn't matter. No one race is more gifted than the other.
So tell me, if that be the case, and see, I know a little bit about Nigeria when it comes to education.
Yes, ma'am.
Tell me, why is it that the people inside of the inner cities that are African-American can't seem to get the free education that is offered to them?
Sometimes they don't have the information. Information is key. I went to some college, and I was driving a car. When I come back to Dallas, some people are asking me, how are you able to pay for that? Some people don't know that there is a grant. Some people don't know that there is a loan that you can get when you are in the university. I think if community leaders should do a better job at educating the inner youth, let them know what opportunities that are there. And the environment also plays an important role. Sometimes when you wake up in the morning and all you see is somebody sitting at the corner drinking some liquor, so that is what people from that environment is going to aspire to, because that is their role model, that's all they see. But if you see everybody there going to college, you're going to want to find out how are they doing it. So, but it's not true of every kid from inner city, because I have some of them in the school I went to. Some of them are able to come to college, do just as good as anybody else, sometimes do better than most people.
So how do we motivate Americans to actually become better at what they do and to seek after achieving it? Because I see my friends who come here from Africa, they come here from Nigeria, who come here from Ghana. I see them embrace, they come here from Johannesburg, and I see them embrace education and embrace success and embrace entrepreneurial spirit and embrace trying to move forward. And I see people here who feel like they can't get it done.
One thing that works in those people's favor is that they come here hungry. Because this is a culture of excess. You know, whether you go to school or not, you have 3 square meals. You can still drive a car. But it's not so in most of those other parts of the world that you are talking about. This country is actually blessed. So when they come here, the people from those parts of the world are hungry. They want to achieve. The work ethic is different. And they take their education. They are not smarter than people here. It's not. And the people here can work just as hard. I've worked in McDonald's. I've worked in a lot of places. I've worked, especially the black guests. They can outwork you most of the time. But it's just the state of mind. Your state of mind reflects in anything you do. People here have to be educated that there is more than they are looking forward to, especially the black youth. No? So that is just, there's no magic to it. People coming from all those parts of the world don't have any special magic. It's just that they are more hungry, and they want to work hard. They are determined, and they believe that it can be done. So that's the difference.
So how do you raise your children here? How do you keep them motivated to push forward?
Oh, we just the accountability at home. No, especially their mother. Their mother is like a military drill sergeant. Even drills me. She pushes me too. So, no, you have to make good grade to earn anything. They have choice at home that they have to do, and we give them certain amount of money. Make them realize the value of money and the need to work for money and what it takes for them to enjoy the type of life that they are enjoying. Also, we are in a church, family church, and they are involved in church activity, and the word of God is preached to them. And a respect for each other and respect for people that are above you.
I was going to say, Ozan, and Mark, he didn't hear our conversation before.
Uh-huh.
Now, he just regurgitated what we said.
Yes, I heard that.
Did you notice that?
Yes.
He just re-said what we said before, you know, in the first half hour. Before Ozan came on and told us, this is what's necessary. And I want people to grab on to this, because I think it's important. I think it's important for the future of our country and as far and for our community at large.
Saucy, I haven't read your book, but I'm glancing through it as you're talking. I didn't know you were going to be on here today. This is really fascinating. Now, you're still working for yourself now?
Yes, sir. I'm working for myself.
What is it that you do?
I have a degree in drafting, and I have a master's in environmental engineering, so I have a certificate for hazardous material. I also do home inspection. I'm very busy in home inspection now because I have a Texas license and a national license to do HUD inspection. So
That's really interesting because I was looking in your book that you and your wife both lost your jobs in Mississippi and you rented a truck and you drove to Plano, Texas. How do you start a business from that?
Oh.
What did you say? This is what I want to do.
Yeah, it's still the same work ethic, not giving up. Like I have said, it's a lot of opportunity here that people that are not from here take for granted. Now, you have to pass through a desert to really appreciate a sip of water. So it takes real hunger to appreciate a good meal. If you've gone through those type of experience, everywhere here you see opportunity. This is not a bad country. It's full of opportunity because if you do anything you do right here and you are the best, nobody look at where you are from anymore. That's why in my business I have a lot of calls. Because if I tell you I'm gonna be there 9 o'clock, 8:55 I'm there. And
yeah.
The reports you get it that very night. If I have to stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning to send you the report, you get it that very night. So if they call somebody that is busy and they cannot no, they are too busy for the call me. I'm going to be there, and they are going to get a report, and I will give them a good report. And most of them will be saying, "Oh, since you are so thorough, you are so good. Just do the best you can. Let your yes be yes. Be a man of your word. And once people trust you, that's all you need. They're willing to work with you. I'm not saying this system is an unmissed blessing. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that there's no racism. I'm not saying that there are no obstacles. Yes, there are obstacles. Just like in flight, trust and force will defy gravity. So there are certain things you do that will minimize those obstacles that people will just say, okay, no, we can work with him.
How did you get your first? I mean, this is just fascinating. I mean, I was looking through this. He and his wife both lost their jobs. He drives to Plano. He gets his licenses. How did you get your first client?
Well, just knocking on doors. Just
how
knocking
many doors
on
do you think you had to knock on?
Everyone that is open. I said, no, my first client, they were waiting for somebody to go do it. They said, are you ready to do it today? I said, I'm ready to do it now. Went with a laptop that I put on credit card, did it. First of all, I have to do the exam here, Texas exam, which people do for years, and it took me about 3 months to do that. So I took the exam because you have to pass 80% in structural, electrical, and mechanical. Because you are inspecting to be a professional inspector so that you don't work under anybody. Because I've had experience with the United States Army Corps of Engineers, so most of those things that were on the question were very familiar anyway. So give me this opportunity, and I will. So we just went there. I did the inspection, gave them the report there, and that was it. So they liked what they saw, and the thoroughness and the professionalism, and I was on time. So,
the tenacity.
Yeah, tenacity. Thank you very much.
I'm looking because you self-published this book.
Yes, ma'am. I did.
And I'm looking at how well it's written, but it takes a lot to self-publish.
That's
and true. And it, you know, I'm looking at your Facebook page and how you keep on knocking on doors and saying, hey, I've written a book about overcoming obstacles, and I didn't let my language barrier deter me. I didn't let my color deter me. I kept on knocking on doors. People didn't treat me well. I had to work at McDonald's. I stay up late, and I put a faith in God, and I move forward. And you're still knocking on doors, and you're still trying to go somewhere else. You're still reaching for more. You're not full yet.
Yes, ma'am. That is it. You have to knock on. You set your own path. Follow your own dream. Don't let people divert you, because people will promise you the moon, but in the end, it's going to cost you the earth. But if you have your own agenda, you follow your own agenda, and you have a plan, and you work with it, in most cases, with God on your side, everything's going to be okay. So, no, that is the message that needs to be told to youth here from Inner City. And children here, they are very smart. Black, white, Hispanic, no, they can achieve. They have the ability, the resources is there. Everything is there. It's just to have a different mindset and maybe a little different work ethic. People here are very hardworking. It's just the mindset, the belief in oneself.
I want to ask about two quotes. This is just fascinating over here. I'm going to read you two quotes from your book, and I think this is really interesting, particularly from somebody who is not from here, from an immigrant. He writes, "I know that the United States is not a utopia, but I also know that it's still a better society than many others in the world today." And later on in the books, he says, "The system is a long way from being perfect, and making it better for our children and future generations remains the responsibility of all of us. The founding fathers did all that was within their power. Did they make some mistakes? Maybe so, but one thing we cannot question is that they all love this country, and we all need to keep doing our part to make this the best country on earth and greater." What a wonderful sentiment. I wish I could hear words like that from people who were born in this country. Instead of the criticism and the tearing down and the recognizing of opportunity that this country gives to people. You know, it's easy to sit around and blame other people.
It is. I mean, and you're right. I mean, and I look at this, and as I say, we're here and we don't appreciate what we have while we're here. People look in and they come here. And they take on the dream of, I can do anything if I just get there. And they take the opportunity and they seize the moment. And that's where I'm praying that listening to Azane and reading his book will inspire people to say, you know what, I will not make any excuses. I will not hang out with people who are negative. I will put faith in my God. And I will make my children become that which I know they can.
Asaza, you did become an American citizen?
Yes, sir. 1995.
How was that?
How was that process?
I'm very proud to become an American citizen. Sure, the purpose of writing this book is to give back. Because I came here, I got my green card, I got college loan, I got grant, I got scholarship, So I think I owe America a little. The idea that the society owes you a little is where people go wrong. So, and I see this is a way for me to encourage people who believe that it cannot be done, that it can be done, if you just believe in yourself. Because this is a great country. No, because there's a lot of freedom here. Yeah, I'm saying it with all sincerity. There are places in the world you go, you cannot even be seen with a Bible. But here, no, even if you are one-legged, no, it's gone to a point now where you are almost forcing people to believe, I believe in one leg. Whether they believe it or not, it would be politically incorrect for them to say, one leg is bad. No, that is how generous and how accommodating American system is.
You said that you want to give back. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229 if you want to call in and talk to Asazi. Want to call in and talk to him, ask him a question, and join in the conversation, you're more than welcome to do so. Again, that number is 347-945-5229. You said that you want to give back.
Yes, ma'am. That's why.
Why do you want to do that?
Because I owe America. Because America helped me when I came here. I have help from both black, white, Hispanic, especially elderly black men and women. So it's just a sense of gratitude. No, that is based on Africa culture. No, society is good to you. You have to be good. That's why I spend my money to publish the book to begin with. No.
So you didn't publish the book to become rich. You published the book to give back so that you can help somebody else.
Yes, so that I can help somebody else. So I want the people to know that they can get it in Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Well, let's do this again. It's called Thrill of the Rookie.
Yes, ma'am.
And the name of the spelling of his name is, the first name is O-S-A-Z-E, and the last name, and I need to have a contest if anybody can call in and pronounce it. The last name is E-H-I-G-I-A-T-O-R. Ehagator.
Yes, ma'am. You're doing good now. You're improving.
I'm working on
the American spirit. I told
I'm working
you,
on this.
An American can do anything.
I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, but I don't know if I can spell this or get this perfect before the end of this show.
That's because you're a woman.
You are doing great. You are doing great. You are improving with every pronunciation.
Azani, I've got to take a break. Hold on just for a minute. I'm going to take my break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. And today I have Mark Manji with me. And as always, it's a pleasure to have him. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
Don't let the plastic bring you down.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Hour and 15 minutes a week of what the CDC calls vigorous intensity aerobic activity like jogging, or at least 2.5 hours of moderate activity like walking. Throw in some mild strength training like push-ups a couple of days a week, and boom, you're meeting the government's physical activity guidelines. Unfortunately, the CDC's Morbidity and Mortality Weekly report says only 20% of adults do enough, but on the bright side, 50% at least meet the aerobic requirements. A few more sit-ups could get them across the finish line. Scott Goldberg, ABC News.
That's one of two CDC studies that's getting a lot of attention today. The other one shows a spike in suicides among middle-aged Americans, the CDC's Dr. Thomas Simon.
Traditionally, we focused on suicide rates among adolescents and young adults and suicide rates among older adults.
This report highlights the need to better understand and address the risk for suicide among the middle-aged adults.
The study defines middle age as 35 to 64-year-olds. The April unemployment numbers come out tomorrow. If today's weekly report is any indication, it could be encouraging. It shows the number of people who filed for first-time unemployment benefits hit a five-year low last week.
With claims here grinding to new post-recession lows, that tells us that the labor market is going to perform decently in the May, June, July period, based on what we can see at this point.
That's economist Carl Riccadonna at Deutsche Bank. Firefighters in Southern California are busy today. They're battling several wildfires burning in the Los Angeles area. The world of country music is saying goodbye to a legendary singer. Tanya Tucker performs the Old Rugged Cross at today's memorial service for George Jones, which is being held at the Grand Ole Opry. Jones died last week at the age of 81. The Dow is up 116 points. This is ABC News.
Sometimes in life, you just get lucky. Like when you slide into a rock star parking spot or get a great table at that hot new restaurant. But luck won't protect you from identity theft. And that's why Identity Guard offers top-rated identity theft protection for less than a dollar a day. Act now and get free protection for your kids, the latest targets for identity thieves. Get it now for less than a dollar a day at identityguard.com/dollar. That's identityguard.com/dollar.
Homeowners, in today's world, no neighborhood is immune from burglaries. Get a state-of-the-art monitored home security system for Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, and get peace of mind today. Call right now, 1-888-213-2244. 1-888-213-2244. Local permit fees may be required. License number CAACO6320, KY City of Louisville 483, and FLEC13003427. Call for additional numbers. Call now, 1-888-213-2244.
Ever think your boss speaks a different language? If so, you're not alone, and that management speak doesn't go over too well across the pond.
For the past few years, this kind of thing has crept into workplace language here.
Think outside the box.
I think I'm ready to take things to the next level.
And the reaction from British workers? According to the Institute of Leadership and Management, many British employees see such management phrases as a pointless irritation. Among the worst of the offices?
It's a win-win situation.
It's on my radar.
I'll ping you the agenda.
Similar results were found in Spain, France, and Russia, which may come as no big surprise.
It's a no-brainer.
Tom Rivers, ABC News, London.
Obi, the formerly obese dachshund, is recovering at a veterinary clinic in Oregon after a little nip and tuck. Actually, he's had about 2.5 pounds of loose skin removed. The little dog once weighed 77 pounds. He's down to 35 and has about 5 more to go. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Bosch appliances are ranked highest in customer satisfaction with dishwashers by J.D. Power and Associates. You can find great deals on ultra-quiet Bosch dishwashers by visiting your local Bosch dealer for special promotions. J.D. Power and Associates 2012 Kitchen Appliance Satisfaction Study.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios. In head-to-head competition with Toyota, Ford had better fuel economy in every segment. Stop in now at your Northeast Ohio Ford dealer and get a Fusion with 0% financing for 60 months.
Mother's Day is next week, and Pro Flowers is offering an amazing special. 100 stunning blooms for mom, plus a free glass vase for just $19.99. This incredible deal expires this Friday. Go to proflowers.com and use the secret code BLOOM16. 100 colorful blooms guaranteed to stay fresh for at least a week for only $19.99, plus a free glass vase. The only way to get this amazing deal is to go to proflowers.com, click on the radio microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code BLOOM16.
Local restaurants, shops, salons, and more with savings of 50 to 90% every time. Live more, spend less. Download the mobile app now.
Now that's a real sweet deal.
SweetJack.com.
Fit family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austintown receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Well, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. In studio with me, I have Mr. Mark Manji, and I have a gentleman on the front line with me, and I'm going to keep him for a little bit longer because I'm so very, very inspired being a small business owner and being and dealing with just life and trying to make a difference. And so he is a naturalized citizen from Nigeria. He came back here in 1995, and if you look at the back of his book, it says that he only had $400 in his pocket. And he had admission to the state university, but he didn't have any money for room and board. I also have another friend who is a plastic surgeon, and he's one of the best plastic surgeons that I've ever come across. And he came here, and he was working three jobs to make up and living and sleeping on a floor, and he said it was a hard floor, to make up the difference between his student loans or his admission and the money that he had to raise to get into the university. And he came in here from Ghana. And I look at these guys, and they come in here, and they capitalize on their education. They go out and start their own businesses, and they don't allow anyone to hold them back by hook or by crook. And I read this with so much, they motivate me to do better. They motivate me to do better. And his name is Ozani.
Ozazi.
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 Higeta.
Higeta.
You could do the last name. I can't do the last name. I do the first name. Between the two of us, sir, we've got your name down. We got it covered.
And he tells me that, you know, inside of his book, and he has written this, and he's self-published, and he didn't publish it to become rich. I don't know if you guys know how much money self-publishing costs, but to pass out a book to media people, self-publishing is, you know, y'all need to just support the brother just because he self-published it. Self-publishing, to put the money up, is not a cheap ordeal. And to put the money up because you just want to give back and let people know. And he talks about how he had a barrier. And you can tell by his dialect. You can imagine him trying to go out and sell his goods, and there being a language barrier, and he still has a very, very strong accent from Nigeria.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about that.
Okay, about
the language barrier.
Oh, the language barrier was serious hindrance when I came here. Because there are certain, even we spoke English in Nigeria, Queen's English, but there are still certain things here that is pronounced different, even if we are speaking the same language, like a car trunk. It's called boot in Africa. Like hood here, it's called bonnet. Like glove compartment, it's called pigeonhole back in Africa. And there are certain things, you know, names that we use in Africa that cannot be used here, that might be derogatory if you use it here. If you look at, like, chapter 14 of my book, which I will not like to. So just even the accent alone is a major barrier. When it comes to food, because my first job was at the restaurant, because when I came here, we went to the food store with a guy. Now, he was working at the taco with me now, but he's a professor now in Jackson State University, Steve. He wanted to show me, okay, you are going to an interview to work at the restaurant. He was showing me different kinds of food items. This is called this, because it's not, most of them are not what we are used to in the tropical. These are different kind of food. When I went into the grocery store, I was overwhelmed by the quantity of food and the availability, because that's, you know, this is a culture of essays. I've said that so in so many ways. So, no, even when I work in the restaurant, as something as simple as an American cheese, somebody told me to go into the working and bring an American cheese. I came back with cheese. It may have been cheddar cheese. It's been so many years ago. He was saying, holy cow, this guy does not even know what is an American cheese. I said, well, take it if you need a cheese, because they are all made in America. It's just there are so many things that we are not used to, that we have not seen, that once you come here, the it's just like information overload to begin with, even if you speak the language.
Now, I have a question. Do you make peanut butter soup?
Say that again?
Peanut butter soup.
Yeah.
Okay, just checking. I love peanut butter soup.
Oh, I would not have
peanut butter soup.
I would love peanut butter soup.
I still make all of them today. Even when my wife was, each time my wife is pregnant, I'm the cook. And I can cook just as good as she does.
And so you make peanut butter soup then?
Yep.
Yeah, peanut butter soup, I don't know what part of Africa that it originates in, but I know that it is truly peanut butter soup. It's made with onions and garlic, and it's sautéed, and it's got meat in it, and it's got scoops of peanut butter, and it's a sauce, and it goes over rice with the meat, and it's wonderful. Absolutely
what
great.
What's the taste? I'm sorry. Peanut butter rice?
We call it stew, but
yeah.
Almost everybody from Nigeria, Ghana, and those West African countries knows how to make that.
Awesome. It's what you. I'm a food person. It's good. What you call good eating. It does. You know, it tastes like it's like a chicken satay.
I love chicken satay.
Will you take the sauce, the peanut butter sauce, and expand that into a soup and put meat in it? Yeah, and then add some rice.
Yeah.
And I'm hungry, and I shouldn't be talking about food.
Hey, 347-945-5229.
What'd you say?
I wish you were in Texas. I would have invited you over. We have some in my house, in Plano.
And I want you to know, if I was in Texas, I would come. You have no idea. I will show up for food.
I can tell you that. Tracy shows up for food.
I will show up for food.
You have my number. Anytime you come to Texas, holla. We'll hook you up.
Okay. I'm going to hold you to that.
There's no problem.
I will show up for food. And when you feed me, I'm like a stray cat. I don't go away.
Don't worry. You are in good hands.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
You seem to have a religious faith.
Yes, ma'am.
And you talk in your book, your last chapter is spiritual mechanical advantage and divine favor. Expand on that a little bit for me.
Oh, man. That is,
go ahead.
If you read in my book, I say in America you can succeed, but one has to be elastic or break. But at my breaking point, I always resort back to God, prayer. And people are saying prayer does not work. I don't know, because they have never experienced it. It's what you don't know about, so you have no authority or grant to actually condemn it. If you have not been in America and you have never been in this country and you are saying America does not exist, so I wonder how authentic that can be. Because I have prayed to God. If you look around, just look around and see, what is going on. We breathe taking oxygen and give out carbon dioxide. Look at plants. They bring out carbon dioxide and taking oxygen. Look at the position of the moon and the earth and how it reflects the gravity of the moon No, regulating the ocean current so that it does not spill over the Earth. Look at the position of the sun and the Earth. And a little slide to the right, degree to the right, will burn. A little degree to the left would have frozen. Now, if you look at everything the way, look at a space shuttle going into space. No, it does not encounter any heat, but if it's coming back, there's about 90 seconds of intensity over 3,000 degrees of heat. So, look at nature in general. Look at the water cycle, and complex machine like man. Look at the organs in our body. And people are saying there's no God. So it has to take a master scientist to put all these things together. And science has said the possibility of amoeba existing at random is almost infinity. So if all these things come into place and you are looking at it and people are still saying that there's no God, I know there's God. Each time I pray to God, I always had answer. There are times where I can no longer go. I just say, God, look, now I've exhausted my intellect, my resources, my strength. No, you take over. And he's always been there. So if they have to actually try God and put him to test, that's we go to church. We are very active in church. My children are in church. My wife is a board member in our church. In my church, I did the bulletin for the church from almost 6 or 7 years. So I believe there is God. I'm not imposing, I don't believe in imposing my view on anybody, but I also believe in expressing my opinion and say this is what I believe. So people don't have to take it, but for those who want to listen, just look around you and see that it takes a master scientist to put everything that we enjoy together. So if there's no God, then just call him a super designer. Somebody designed this earth that we enjoy. So these things cannot be at random. Predator and prey, look at the way they interact. And it's mind-boggling for somebody to look at all this and say there's no God. So,
Zazi,
yes,
did I get that right yet?
I'm here.
I love you, and I thank you for being a guest on my show today. It's really been an honor and a privilege to have you and to talk with you. And we pray you have much success, not only with your book, but with your family and with your endeavors.
Thank you very much, man.
The book is called The Thrill of the Rookie.
It's called Trail of the Rookies on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and it's all they have to do is just Google it. Just Google the title. You see, just go to Google and put Trail of the Rookie, and you
can find it everywhere. Barnes & Noble has
it. Everywhere. It's in India. It's in everywhere.
I see congratulations on being down in Australia.
Oh, thank you very much, Mike.
I saw that.
Thank
you. So congratulations, and I pray that you have very, very much success, and we appreciate you. And you have my number, so if you ever need us here in Youngstown, please call us.
I would be glad to. How do I get a copy of this interview, ma? I would be glad to have.
I'm going to put my. I'll put my Facebook link.
Okay.
I'll put my. Let me see if I can get this. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. I'm going to put my Facebook link on your page.
Okay, ma.
And you'll have it.
Okay.
And you can just click on it.
Much.
You're welcome. God bless you and have a good day.
God bless you, ma. Success on your program, ma. God bless
Thank you.
You.
Thank Bye-bye. You so much.
Okay.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. It's going to be open mic from here until the end of the show. I'm going to let Mark talk. I'm going to interview Mark a little bit.
Uh-oh.
Because Mark knows everything.
Yeah, I know that.
Mark knows everything.
I know it all.
And we're going to talk about Mark knowing it all in a few minutes because Mark knows it all. And when we get done talking about Mark knowing it all, you're really going to be surprised what Mark knows and what Mark doesn't know. So we're going to do that because I don't think I've done that since he's been coming on with me. He always comes in as my co-host and hanging out and talks about whatever I want to talk about.
Interesting people. This guy was just fascinating.
I am so impressed.
What an inspiration. You know, and it's cross-cultural.
this is just a wonderful, wonderful individual. I am thrilled to death I got to chat with him a little bit today.
I'm proud of him.
We need to get him here, Tracy.
As a motivational speaker?
We need to bring him here as a speaker.
Bring him here as a speaker?
I think we ought to bring him here as a speaker.
That would be awesome.
I think so.
We could probably make that happen.
I think so.
Because I'm looking at this, and people need to be motivated by people who... Azazi, are you still there?
Yes, ma'am. Here I am. I'm enjoying your program.
Well, you're more than
I listened to you yesterday evening, too.
Oh, you listened to us yesterday, too?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, so you found out that we're nuts, huh?
I heard you talking about you can't wait to interview me today when you were discussing some controversial issue. I listened to you last night, and last night, too.
So you heard that, you know, it's not
safe. And it still came on us, Audrey. Jeez, oh, man. You're braver than I thought.
Did they not tell you that you know, just say no? Let me ask you, can I ask you a controversial question really quick about immigration?
Okay, ma'am, yes.
You had to go through the whole process of immigration.
Yes, ma'am.
Was it difficult?
It's difficult. I don't know if I can say this. I just wish. No, what I experienced there is that, let me just say, minority apart from the Hispanic, don't necessarily support each other when you are dealing with immigration and government. Sometimes you go there, you see like a black person. I'm saying this with all respect. I've gotten a lot of help from black people. But you go there, sometimes, no, you will get less help from that person than another white person that is staying. I'm just saying, with immigration alone, I'm not saying with life. So I think, like, Mexicans are getting it easier than people from Africa. That's my personal opinion. It's not a general opinion. So, yes, it was difficult, but, no, I thank
But you made it.
Yeah, I made it. No.
So... with me asking you that,
mm-hmm.
as someone who's gone through the process, do you think that we need to change the process, or do you think that we need to let everyone not have to go through the process that's already here illegally and not have to go through what you went through?
I think the process, there's nothing wrong with the process. Because criminals might come here, this beautiful system here, we have to have a way of safeguarding. Anybody cannot just come in and out. It's just like having your own home. If you open it to all kinds of elements, people you might want to help might turn around, and you are seeing that all over the place. But no, people that work there need to know how to draw a line between an honest and hardworking immigrant than an immigrant between that and an immigrant that is here, you know, trying to take advantage of the system or hurt, you know, the American people. So I think people that are hardworking immigrants should be giving a little, make it easier on them a little bit. Don't just apply
the same rule.
But don't
open the door and just let them walk in. Okay. I wanted to ask you that. But listen, I got to take my break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends. And when I come back, I'm going to pick on Mark for a minute because Mark knows it all. And we're going to talk about his webpage. He does a blog. Every Monday I get it. He has an email subscription. And so if you want to go to his webpage and subscribe, and I don't think you guys know that because he does a food criticism. And I
like food.
Oh, me and you both.
And I got to find a place to get peanut butter soup. That just sounds
I'm
really
going to try to make it.
You're going to make it?
I'm
okay.
going to try to make it.
I'm going to Texas and get authentic one.
From
the Wonderland.
I'm going to try to make it. I got a recipe from my friend, and their aunt and their grandmother and all of them made it, and it was wonderful. So I'm going to try to make this.
You okay. have to have the magic touch to eat for it to really come out right.
Huh?
Yeah, he knows all food. If you want it, you have to have a certain touch if you're making certain things to make it taste good.
The only thing I have a magic touch for is cakes and pies.
That was a great cake you made, too. I remember that was a good cake. That had the touch.
It also had the
touch. It also had the rum.
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
there we go.
I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com. I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one. All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News. The Ohio Racing Commission agreed yesterday to allow Penn National to move forward with plans to build a racino in Austintown. The facility will be built near Route 46 and the I-80 interchange in Austintown. A license transfer from Beulah Park near Columbus to Austintown has also been approved. The Austintown Board of Education has found a buyer for the former middle school property on Mahoning Avenue. A development company from Akron has agreed to purchase the site. LRC Development Company says it will demolish the building and build a retail complex. And a Poland man was sentenced yesterday in Columbiana Municipal Court for his role in a March 2012 fatal accident that killed an East Liverpool man. 32-year-old Michael Bayer was sentenced to 90 days in jail on charges of vehicular manslaughter in the death of 35-year-old David Mayfield. You're up to date. I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News.
And now, Crestview Auto Body presents The Secret Conversations of Deer.
So, back from car baiting again, Mr. Daredevil?
Yep, but that's not why I do it, though.
This ought to be good. Why do you jump in front of cars?
The signs.
What signs?
Those insulting signs.
What's wrong now?
Those deer crossing signs are an insult to all self-respecting deer. I don't look like that. You don't look like that. And what's with this leaping pose? We're not always leaping.
So that's why you're jumping in front of cars?
I'm not just jumping in front of cars. I'm taking a stand against the man. Oh, here comes another one. Join me in the fight!
Crestview Auto Body doesn't really know why that deer jumped in front of your car, but we do know how to fix it after, with the area's most expert collision repair. Crestview Auto Body, like it never happened, with locations in New Waterford, Salem, and Calcutta. At News Talk 600, business is good, and we're growing again. We're looking for a new sales representative to join our team. If your current job has limited potential, then you need to schedule a personal interview today. Here's what some of our representatives have to say about a selling career in radio.
I love my job. I'm great at what I do because I believe in my product. We have the top-rated radio stations in the market, and I'm proud to introduce those radio stations to my clients.
I love going out and talking to new people, being able to create new ideas for them. Just so much fun to be part of that and knowing that I was an asset to their business.
Working in radio is a blast. We get to be a part of community events, work on creative campaigns for my clients. I believe in my product.
Send your resume now to brad.marshall@cumulus.com. We're an equal opportunity employer.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios, it's no wonder Ford is the best-selling brand in Northeast Ohio. Seven models with an EPA estimated rating of 40 miles per gallon highway or better. Now get 0% financing for 60 months on several models.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I want to thank, give me his first name, Mark. Azazi? Azazi?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
Azazi?
Yes, ma'am. Hello?
E?
I'm here.
Engator.
Yeah.
Engator. Did I get that right?
Yes, ma'am, you did. You did. You are improving. You did really good.
Thrill of the rookie. He was on with me, and he's still sitting out there, and you can always jump in the conversation. But I have never done this, and while Mark is here.
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
And we need to do this a little bit. Somehow, okay. This lawyer, friend of mine named Mark Mangi, he writes a blog every week called Mark Knows It All.
Yep.
And you have a website.
Yes, www.markknowsitall.com.
What, Mark, what do you talk about with Mark Knows It All? Because, you know, you're a little...
There's an Italian word.
Okay.
The Italian word sabatute. And my mother used to always say to me when I was growing up, you're a sabatute, which means you know it all. And so I decided one of these days, you know what? She's right. I do. And I want to say what I have to say. So I was sitting on the beach down in Florida, and I said, you know, about 7 or 8 years ago, because I've been writing either the blog for about 7 or 8 years now, I said to my wife, I said, I'm going to do something so I can express my opinion. And I've been doing it ever since. And I say what I want to say, and if nobody likes it, they can write and they can tell me they don't like it. A lot of people do, but that's just the way it is.
You have this. Okay, let me see this. You have a Friday morning rant.
Yes.
On gun control.
Yes. Now that's the old. There will be a new one coming out. It'll come out on Sunday. I send these things out on Sunday night. But the last 2 months, because I have been so swamped with the project that you and I are aware of, that
yeah.
I've only been able to get it out every other week as opposed to every week. But I go back to every week next week.
And then you also have a Youngstown Eats.
Yes.
Where you go out and you eat food.
Oh, I love it. I love food.
And you write down and tell people.
What I think.
What you think.
Yeah. It's wonderful. And, you know, I get a lot of traffic on that site. It's set up as blogs. The blogs are consolidated into the Mark Knows It All. If you go to the site, you'll actually see RAGPAC, WRAGPAC,
okay.
Top, and that is my political action committee. It is a super PAC, and we raised a bunch of money last fall for the presidential election. Of course, our side lost, but that's kind of the way it goes in politics, and you know, it is a labor of love, and I have some faithful readers, and it's great. Yeah, I do 4 columns a week. One is under a general Mark Knows It All column, and that is it tends to be a little less topical and more a kind of, you know, comment on modern day life. And then I do an opinion piece, which I try to be very editorial-minded, newspaper-ish. Then the Friday morning rant, where I just kind of go off the deep end. And then my Youngstown Eats, and when I do restaurant reviews for Northeast Ohio and Western Pennsylvania. And the restaurant review thing's always been a hoot, and it does very, very well.
Wow.
And I can write off the cost of the meal.
It worked.
Mrs. Manchu didn't raise a stupid son.
Ah.
You know, because it goes out to my clients and
it's a communication piece.
It's a communication piece, and I can't deduct my wife's dinner, but I can deduct my own.
Buy one, get one free.
Hey, listen, I knew a lawyer who did that once traveling all over the world. He would write a newsletter kind of a thing based on his travels, and he would take off his and he flew all over. And I don't like to fly, so I'm kind of limited. But that's
Let me ask you this: where is the best place that you've eaten?
Oh, geez, you really want to know?
Yeah.
My favorite all round restaurant. If I were to pick one, if you were to say to me, Mark, if you're going to go for one last meal before the world ended tomorrow, where would you go? I would go to the Iron Bridge in Mercer, Pennsylvania.
Good food.
Pardon me?
Good food there.
Yeah, I know good food there. That's part of the Springfield group,
mm-hmm.
but it's different. I mean, it's a different. It does maintain the same menus or different menu items, and that was the home base for the Springfield restaurant group. And they don't take reservations. They've got the best prime rib you're ever going to get anywhere.
They got the best crab cakes too.
And wonderful crab cakes. And that's where I like to go. I've eaten at better restaurants, but if you're looking at overall bang for the buck,
with the food,
with the balance, I think that's about as good as you can get.
Now, what was your worst?
I can't talk about the worst. I don't like. Well, you know what? I can talk about the worst.
You don't give the name of. What was the worst?
It was a restaurant that's no longer in existence, and I'm not surprised they're not in existence. We went there. In fact, our mutual friend, the other Mark,
mm-hmm.
and my associate from the office and I were at the Victorian Playhouse downtown. We independently of each other and to see a show down there, and we decided to go out to get a glass of wine and something to eat after the show together. And so we went to this particular establishment that is no longer there. And we walked into the place. The ta-da girls, that's my pet peeve, is ta-da girls. Those are the girls at the hostess station,
right.
The ladies at the hostess station, were among the bitchiest, oh dear, I can't say that, I have ever seen anywhere. They were horrible, and they basically said to me, you want dinner?
Wow.
Yeah? You can't get dinner, you can only get hors d'oeuvres.
Wow.
I said, okay. And then my other buddy came in, and they went through the same thing with him. And then my other buddy came in, and they went through the same thing with him. And finally, I said, listen, we want to get some hors d'oeuvres. We want to sit down. And there's empty tables all over the place. And she just got really huffy. And she brought us back to a table in a separate room, which was a banquet room, that they had had a banquet in, and the tables were dirty.
Oh,
and
my.
Sat us down. I'm not making this stuff up. And sat us down there. We were there almost 30 minutes, and nobody came in. And I went out to her, and I said, do you think somebody could come back and take her order? And I thought, just like that. I didn't see anything more than that. And she said, just a minute. And she walked in the kitchen. And the barman, the manager came out from the kitchen and came up to me and got in my face and started poking his finger in my chest and grabbing my shirt and said, you're not allowed to sit there. You don't sit there. You get out of there. I'm calling the cops on you.
That's serious.
And now you're talking about the, you know, prominent people here. You know, there wasn't a slouch in the bunch.
I don't know about that.
Well, you know who they are. prominence is in the eye of the beholder.
It couldn't be your political views.
I don't think so.
Okay.
But you never know. And I said to my buddies, let's get out of here. You know, I just had enough. As we were leaving, the waitress grabbed us, and she was watching all this going on. She says, come over here. She says, I'll take care of you. And she brought us a bunch of free food and a bunch of free booze. I went to write my review, and I never, and I just, this is just the way I am. The restaurant business is a tough business. If I can't say anything nice, I don't say anything.
So you don't write negative reports?
I don't like to write negative reports. I criticize, but it's always in good spirit in terms of overall good stuff. And I sent it down to the guy, and the owner, and I said, you call me by this date or I'm publishing it. He called me up, and he apologized all over the place, but the place went out of business.
Well, you know what?
2 or 3 months later, and I don't blame it. I've never seen anything like it in my life.
I tell you what I did and you weren't here. I went to get my car sent about, and I try not to do negative publicity. I just try not to do that if I have a problem with something. And I never gave the name out.
Yeah.
And after I left, I should have given the name out because I went to buy. I went to get my tire changed.
Uh-huh.
And I've been doing business, and I'm going to call them out today. I've been doing business with Goodyear.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a female. I don't know anything about cars.
Yeah.
Restaurants, I know.
Yeah.
Cars have gas. They have oil. They have car washes.
Mm-hmm.
That's cars. So with tires, all that kind of stuff, you know, as long as it has rubber on the tires go, we're good.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't make really weird noises. And it gives me a smooth ride. I go. And so I went, I had bent my rim, and Sticks had helped me get a new rim, and I went to get it changed, and I knew I had needed a new tire. And the guy told me that I had to have 4 tires. I knew I needed 2 because I had, you know, 2 tires that I bought before Christmas and 2 tires, you know, in the spring. But I needed to get 2 more tires, and instead of me, you know, he told me he couldn't sell me 1 tire. He had to sell me 4. And I'm saying 4, and so and the reason why I say that is because people don't realize that sometimes when you go out for businesses, you know, and businesses aren't going to have to start paying attention because with social media and with things the way they are, people can tweet, Facebook, and really put your business in a bad light just by the people who work for you not doing what they should.
Yeah.
Text him and tell him we're busy. But, and it's really, because I was asking you, you were talking about food, and I asked you about divorce, and you said, and you said, well, I won't say that out loud. And I was saying, when I came back into the radio station, I didn't call them out by name, and now I'm calling them out by name because people need to understand, you don't take advantage of people because you're a female walking into your establishment and they don't know anything.
Sure.
And so the same thing goes with food. You know, you got to be nice to people because we can tweet. We can tell them. You never know who you're talking to.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I've noticed some trends about restaurants in the area, too, because we go all over. Wherever I go, I write a review. And my wife and I do a lot of traveling in Northeast, you know, from Cleveland through Pittsburgh, that 120-mile corridor. And I'll tell you what, there's some interesting trends. You couldn't pay me to open up a restaurant today. I really don't know how they're doing it. You really have to be on your game. You've got to be there as an owner all day long to make money. You can't be an absentee owner with some of these places.
Charlie Stables has a very, very good crew, but yet he's always there. He takes off a couple days. I think he sleeps standing up, but you have to have a good model.
Yeah.
Hey, South Carolina, how you doing, darling?
I'm doing fine. Running a little late. I hope y'all didn't do too much without me.
I did a whole lot without you. I've done almost 2 hours, an hour and 45 minutes without you. And you know I've been lost all that time, right?
Yeah, you know, you got Mark there.
Yeah, but, you know, Ben says you have to. I have multiple personalities, so you have to have 3 to my 1.
Okay.
you realize that, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of rude for you to leave Mark with his 1 and him me having, you know, 9 more. That's kind of rude, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So Nazazi was on with me, so that, you know, that doubled it up, but that still wasn't a fair fight.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. You're right about that.
I'm there.
Now we've got, okay, now we're balanced. It's now with 3-3. Or 9-9.
But I tell you, you guys are talking about restaurants, and one of the things that I'm finding is the fact that customer service is absolutely terrible. I mean, there's not that sense of urgency to take care of the customer's needs. You know, the waitress comes up, she throws the menu on the table and just kind of walks away.
But see, that goes back to what I said a little bit earlier in the show about pride in your job. People, and let me say this to owners, take care of your employees, but employees, do your job. There should be a balanced dance going on here when you go to work or when you're a restaurant owner or when you're an employee or when you're an employer. You should treat your people with respect because you need them. But people need to go to work and with the mind of, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt as long as my check doesn't bounce at the end of the week.
Yep.
Yeah.
The trend is
24/7 roadside.
Go ahead.
Radios are the restaurants are getting more and more and more expensive. I don't know.
Have you been to the grocery store lately, Mark?
Yeah, I know. And I don't, like I say, in Youngstown, at least here in Mahoning County, we've gotten spoiled. The places here, you know, the competition is tough here, and they keep their cost under control. You will pay, and you don't have to go to a fancy place to get an equivalent meal at least a quarter more if you go anywhere else than here.
True.
And you still get yourself a veal parm dinner over here for $15. You go anywhere else, they're going to want $18-19. We went up to a place up in Beachwood. I wanted some. We were up there driving around. I kind of looked for some Italian food over there, and I went to the read some reviews on this place. I thought, we're going to go give it a try. We were booze. You're talking $9 to $10.
Well, booze is something different.
You know,
you go to D.C. and you'll pay $12.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's
$12 for what?
Booze?
A
glass of booze?
A glass of wine. You go up to Cleveland to billed as a moderately priced restaurant. You're going to pay $9 for a glass of wine.
Well, just think, you're going to pay $3 for a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
You just put it in your snifter and stick it in your pocket.
Or you could do like me, carry your tea with you in your pocket.
That's right.
That's my order. Yeah.
Yeah, so we've gotten spoiled here, so we're fortunate. There's some wonderful eating places around here. Charlie Staples is one of them.
Charlie Staples is one. I like Michael.
He does an outstanding job.
I like this place in Poland. There's an Italian place in Poland on 224. Past the square.
Okay.
Down by Giant Eagle Caddy Corner.
Okay, yeah, I know the one you mean.
Yeah,
why their name escaped me.
I don't remember
my mind
their name.
Just went blank.
I just know they have good food.
Yeah, my mind went blank.
And we have locally owned good food.
Yeah.
Locally owned, not necessarily franchises.
You ask people why they stay here. They stay here for the food.
And we get good pizza.
Yeah.
Youngstown eats good pizza.
That's wonderful pizza.
We have, I think we have better pizza here than anywhere else in the country.
Well, you look at chains like Domino's never made it here. It's tough for them.
No, they didn't, did they?
So it's tough for them to compete with some of the local pizza here. And you have all sorts of pizza.
We need a soul food.
Where are there any places in town that...
I want to say there's a Montine's out in Liberty, but I don't know if they're soul food. I think they're just American food.
Yeah.
I'm looking for a good soul food, good greens, you know, fried chicken for real.
Well, the queen of soul food restaurants is Sylvia's in New York.
No, that's just commercial soul food.
Is that commercial soul food?
That's commercial soul food. I'm talking about soul food that you find down... There's a place in Los Angeles called Mississippi Homestyle Cooking.
Okay.
That's what you call good. Your feet may stick to the floor, but it's good soul food. It's good food.
All right, tell me in that category of what's soul food. What
soul food is good to the soul. And so what it does, peach cobbler a good peach cobbler, a good fried chicken, a good macaroni and cheese, good collard greens, good fried catfish, smothered pork. It is the stuff that your doctor tells you do not eat.
Okay, the Paula Deen stuff.
Paula Deen, yes, Paula Deen stuff. It's the food that you, it is.
You start with a pound of butter.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You have a pound cake, and the cake weighs a pound.
Yeah.
You have to really, South Carolina, what did you say that? Am I right about that? He's goofing off. But that's where you're looking at, when you have smothered fried chicken that you smother in gravy.
Yeah.
And then you put over rice.
Yeah.
And then you put the sides on the side. And they all just ooze together, and they're definitely going to put weight on you, but they're good eating.
Yeah, that's what we have here with Italian food. And you go to a couple places and get some good Central European food here.
Yeah.
And it is not what you get in other places. They cook like Mom used to cook in some of these places here. And our spaghetti sauce is different. You go to other places, even up in Cleveland, you can tell the difference. You go to Columbus, forget it.
No,
it's
too commercial.
I mean, for as big as that city is,
They have good seafood.
Yeah,
they have good.
Okay.
They have good steaks because they have steak houses there. That you have to mortgage your home to go eat.
Yeah.
But it's good. Whereas here we have good home cooked. We have Italian food that's best.
Sure.
But we've got the best pierogies too.
Yeah. Yeah. You ever been over to the place over on Poland Avenue, Youngstown Poland Road, with the hunky platter?
No. What's that?
I think it's Rips Cafe is the name of it. And
Rips Cafe? Everybody's getting free plugs today. Because I go down to the Hungarian church over on Rayan Avenue.
There's another place to get pierogies.
They have pierogies.
Yeah, they got pierogies.
And you bring your own dish?
Yeah.
At the church?
Ah, jeez.
You bring your own dish. And the ladies are, they're older ladies, experienced ladies.
Yeah.
And I hope I hope the young women are learning to do what these guys do. Because they're down there early in the morning making homemade pierogies and sautéing the butter and the onions. And talk about a good non-Weight Watchers diet.
What's scary is I don't think they are. There used to be an Italian Episcopal Church over on Briar Hill. And it closed, and the members moved over to St. James Episcopal Church in Boardman. And once a quarter, they cook their Covetel dinner over there, and it is just wonderful. But there's nobody young there. There's nobody there to take it over. And
We're going to have to learn. We need to quit throwing. I made a mistake. My aunt made some of the best homemade barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
And I got her cookies, I got other things, but I didn't take the time to learn the barbecue sauce like I should have.
Yeah.
Well, she passed away. Well, guess what? So did the barbecue. The sauce is gone. And all of us have tried to make the sauce, and we haven't. We don't take the time. And that's good quality time for parenting and learning. For some reason, we get older in our 20s and 30s, and we think that we don't have enough time. But what we haven't done is taken time with our parents. I had the opportunity to spend some time with your wife.
Yeah.
And learn how to make pizzelles. And learn how to make, what's the other cookie with the nuts? And the.
We call them the biscuits.
The biscuits.
Yeah.
Taking time to learn, because if you don't take time to learn, you won't know.
That's funny. Did you ever see the program? When my wife married me, she really made the effort to try to learn to learn the family recipes. And my mother was not the most agreeable person on the face of the earth. Did you ever watch Everybody Loves Raymond?
Yeah.
Do you remember the episode where that she gave the meatball recipe, the mother gave the meatball recipe to the daughter and left an ingredient out?
Always.
That was my mother. That's what she did.
No.
Yeah, and it's just she would get very angry when my wife would make the things that she would make. That was her area. But so my wife had to gather the recipes from my grandmother and a couple of my aunts
and figure it out.
When my mother died, she found the book with the recipes in it, and she looked at the recipe and she said, oh, that's why, because she could go through them and know which, what was
that's a sense of empowerment.
Oh, we'll go with that. I call it something else, but this is on the radio.
That's a sense of empowerment, and a lot of times, you know, I think what happens when people get married, they never want their sons, their wives, to take the place of their mothers.
Yeah.
Because mothers always have to be better than the wives.
And my mother was a good baker. She was a horrible cook, but she was a great baker. She could bake anything. And
you can't call your mom a horrible cook.
It wasn't that she cooked. She cooked the way my grandmother cooked. Now, there's a difference between cooking and baking.
That's true.
And my mother was a terrific baker. She made the best apple pie on God's earth. I've never had one as good as she has made. My wife has tried to make it, and she comes close, but no cigar. And my mother made wonderful cakes and cookies, and she could make cream this and frozen that. Just a wonderful, wonderful baker. Her everyday cooking, oh, Lord. It just left a lot.
You're not supposed to say that out loud.
Well, it's not that she cooked it badly. She cooked how she was taught to cook it, and the recipe sucked.
The number is 347-945-5229. You guys ought to give us a call because Mark's going downhill from here. Ozazi, your mic is on, South Carolina. Your mics are on. You guys, you're special, Mark.
Hey, listen, I didn't learn to eat veal until I went away to school because the veal she cooked, I just didn't like. You know how you're supposed to cook chicken until it's cooked?
Oh, yeah.
Her chicken was cooked 10 times over. She cooked those frickin' chickens for she would stick it in the oven, and the thing would cook. There's nothing left. You could put it in your shoes and keep water out.
You got to realize, Mark, now you got to understand, old school.
Yeah.
They learned to cook, they'll cook a chicken for 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they did. They cooked the chicken for 3 days.
They cooked the steak for 3 days, and a roast beef cooks for years.
Yeah. She would take beautiful rib roast.
And cook it until the roast.
And she would cook it till it was just inedible.
But they always do. It's a generational thing. You don't find, you know, tartare anywhere rare. Everything is well done.
That's well done, Tracy. And then there's that. You know, it's just preserved for 1,000 years. There's nothing left in the case. She cooked everything out of it.
But you know what's funny, since you mentioned that, culturally?
Yeah.
You will find more African Americans eat more well done.
Really?
Well done food. When we talk about, when you go to a catering event.
Yeah.
And the meals, they go from medium rare, especially prime rib,
yeah,
to well done.
Okay.
And if you send it out at an African-American event and it's not well done, you will have a mess on your hand as a caterer.
Isn't that something? I didn't know that.
Culturally, yes.
That's
really amazing. Very, very, the percentage of African-Americans that eat medium to medium or rare food,
yeah,
are very different. Even in cooking string beans and vegetables, our vegetables and stuff, they're usually more cooked. They're not al dente. A pasta is the same way.
Yeah, why do you think that is?
Just culture.
Just culture.
Just culture.
That's really interesting.
It's like I think Italians have fried chitlins.
Yes.
And we don't fry ours. We boil ours.
Yeah.
It's just culture. And we don't realize the cultural. Yeah.
Well, Tracy, I medium rare and all that, but
South Carolina.
It wasn't after until I went in the military. That I did that, because if you didn't eat it that way, you weren't going to get any.
South Carolina.
Yeah.
Let me say something. You don't count.
What do you mean I don't count?
South Carolina. What do you mean that you don't count? Well, let me explain it to you. You don't count when it comes to, you know, culturally difference. No, I'm going to take a break. But when I come back, I'll tell you why you don't count. Because you know you don't count. You talk like a white guy. We'll be right back. You listen to the Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AO 600. We'll be right back.
SOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Hold on to the toilet, Marcus.
burning here are growing rapidly. Julie Hutchison with Cal Fire says the wind is impacting air attack.
We get to certain levels of wind, it's not safe or effective to use air takers.
Fire season is starting about a month early here, and forecasts show significant fire activity likely through August. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
The CDC says only one in five American adults gets the recommended amount of physical activity every week. Good way to do it? Take it outside.
When safer communities have environmental support such as parks or walking trails or sidewalks that support and encourage adults to be physically active, that may increase opportunity for physical activity.
And the CDC's Carmen Harris says the recommended guidelines, 2.5 hours of moderate activity and 2 strength training sessions a week. President Obama heading south of the border to talk trade and immigration reform, and a lot of people on both sides of the border and the issue will be listening.
Roberta Alarcón and her husband had such difficulty earning money living illegally in New York, they moved back to central Mexico, leaving behind their 18-year-old son, who can legally remain in school. Roberta says it is so difficult. But back in their small village, they can run their small restaurant. They will not return to the U.S. M. Compton, ABC News, Mexico City.
You don't usually see hats at a funeral, but there were plenty today at the Grand Ole Opry. Vince Gill and Patti Loveless were among the performers at a memorial service for the late George Jones. The Dow is up 126 points, the NASDAQ ahead 45. This is ABC News.
Hi, folks. Jay Farner here, president of Quicken Loans. We're thrilled to have helped over 125,000 homeowners save money by refinancing with HARP. But there are millions more of you who could be saving big money on your home loans by getting HARPed. With HARP, you may be able to refinance with Quicken Loans even if your home has lost value. For example, if you owe $300,000 on your mortgage, but your home's only worth $150,000, Quicken Loans may still be able to help you get HARPed and start saving. Or if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, give us a call today at 800-QUICKEN. And for 3 years in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Once again, if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, or if you owe more than your home is worth, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
The first Pope Emeritus since the Middle Ages will have a new home by the end of the day.
Fragile former Pope Benedict is moving back into the Vatican, not to the still-empty papal apartments, but to his retirement home that overlooks the Vatican Gardens and the Sistine Chapel.
It's been built by John Paul II.
Benedict Steinschulte of the Pontifical Council for Social Communication explains the monastery was recently renovated for the Pope and his entourage.
The Pope and the four ladies, the housekeepers and secretaries.
It will be the first time a reigning pope and a retired one will live within the Vatican walls. Megan Williams, ABC News, Rome.
Federal health regulators reviewing a germ-killing ingredient which is found in about three-quarters of antibacterial liquid soaps and body washes sold in the U.S. The FDA wants to determine whether triclosan is safe and effective. The chemical has been in U.S. households for more than 40 years, used in products from toothpaste to toys. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Savin Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Savin Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Savin Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Savin Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
This hour of America's Morning News is brought to you by Clayton Heating and Air Conditioning, the Valley's number one choice for heating and air conditioning. It's hard to stop a train.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number. 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassetech.com.
Turn Thursday night into family night at Hometown Buffet. Every Thursday from 5 till 8 p.m., kids dine in for just 99 cents with the purchase of an adult meal. Plus, enjoy special activities for the whole family. This week, check out our Word Girl activity sheet, only at Hometown Buffet.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios, the 2013 Ford F-150 has an available EcoBoost engine that delivers the best combination of towing and fuel economy.
Looking to upgrade to Cobra's revolutionary Amstel clubs, the adjustable ones that come in four fresh colors? What about a Fowler flat bill or some Puma plaid pants? Regardless of what Cobra Puma gear you're after, you score big at Goldsmith. Right now, you can take home free gift cards when you pick up new Cobra or Puma golf gear at Golfsmith, as much as $250 worth. Whether you're looking to play like a pro or just dress like one, Golfsmith is the only place to score free Cobra Puma gift cards.
This time,
welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Well, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends, and I'm Tracy, and I hope you're having a good day.
Now I gotta go find a place to eat. You know, I don't know what I'm gonna do now. So we talked about all this good food. Now I gotta go home and pack up the wife. I gotta go find some place to get something good to eat tonight. So I'll take out a Maxstar credit card.
So where are you going? You know what? I have been on the grape leaf.
No, Tracy, you gotta explain to me what you said.
The grape leaf.
Why
the
I don't count.
Those are wonderful.
Yes, they are. I've been on the stuff.
Why don't
weekly.
I count?
What'd you say, South Carolina?
Why don't I count? I eat my pig feet, I eat my chitlin, my hog balls, my collard greens, my cornbread.
South Carolina, you know why you don't count.
What? I can cook it too, Tracy.
You know, one
I don't
step
use
up from
the aluminum
listen,
pan.
You,
I use the cast iron.
South Carolina, you're one step up from a redneck.
Well, redneck eat pig feet too.
That's what I'm saying. But have you ever seen a black? You ever seen a black redneck?
I didn't want to say that because I'm the white guy in the room over here. I was trying to be politically correct on that.
Listen, you do NASCAR. You talk like a white guy. You're a Republican. You're a Tea Partier.
Yeah.
You don't act right. You're conservative?
I don't know, Tracy. Sounds like it counts to me. I like all those things.
That's why you don't count.
Okay.
You know, and Al Sharpton would call you a sellout. You. Speaking of Al Sharpton, since we're open mic, I got to throw this in here. You know, I know y'all say she just bounces all over the place. But I'm sorry. I got an email yesterday because, you know, Al Sharpton, you know, he's Reverend Al Sharpton.
Right.
But he said marriage was no longer sacred. Now, I ain't never
what?
Heard a preacher. What do you mean what?
No, I ain't never
heard a preacher say that marriage wasn't sacred. You know, marriage,
wait
you know, preacher, Christian, preacher, marriage, you know, marriage. I never heard a preacher say marriage wasn't sacred before.
Who said marriage sacred?
Reverend Al Sharpton.
Why?
Well, because he's talking about the same-sex marriage thing and what happened with Jason Collins, the guy who is a mediocre player that nobody knew his name until he came out and said he was gay, but now we all know his name. But, you know, it worked for him. I'm not going to celebrate him and slam people up against the wall like he said something, like he cussed.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, Reverend Al Sharpton says marriage wasn't sacred, but I've never heard a preacher, priest as a rabbi, none of them say it was never sacred, so I just, you know.
Well, O'Reilly, I think it was on O'Reilly last night, he said that's the goal of all of this, is to take the sacred out of marriage. And the end result is that nobody's going to get married because it no longer has any meaning.
Well, no, they'll get married. It'll have meaning. It'll just be there. Because people are not getting married like they should anyhow. You see, a marriage is an institution ordained by God. It is ordained. You have to realize you were supposed to marry and have kids and keep the marriage and the kids together. Hello, we have eroded that with divorce, and now we just shack. And the only people that want to get married now are people that don't have the utensils to procreate.
I'm going to agree with a lot of that, but I'm also going to say I think there's a reason why people don't get married today, because there's a whole lot of reasons not to, really specific reasons.
Like what?
If you're both working, you get taxed more. If you are living together and you look at how our divorce laws work, it's not that they don't want to deal with marriage. The issue is they become afraid of having to go through that process. It's easier just to walk away. I can see some of it. And the taboo of no sex before marriage has been gone. I mean, it's gone. So why should they get married?
Okay. Well, you know, maybe...
I don't agree, but I can understand.
But I'm coming from an old-fashioned thing. I believe the children ought to have a name.
Yeah. And a home, a stable environment.
And I need to make sure that the person that I have a child by, I demand that he takes care of the family in which he commits to. I mean, maybe I'm a little bit old on it, but I just think that's important.
And study after study shows a solid vast. Solid family environment is the best environment to raise children in.
So if I love my kids and I really want them to have a solid future, then I need to close the gate until I find somebody who's going to buy the key to open the gate.
Sure.
To have the kids.
Sure.
Because it just makes for a good, solid community.
And how does one teach that when 15-year-olds can now walk into the drugstore and get a morning pill? Well, I don't understand what's going on. You know, you can't give the kid an aspirin in school, but now the kid can walk into a drugstore and buy the morning after pill.
Right.
And they don't want to even put it on behind the counter. They want them to go to the pharmacist. They want them to go to the shelf and just take it off the shelf like you're buying a package of Band-Aids.
Right.
No, that's not. See, what's even crazier is the fact that there are groups out there, very powerful groups that influence the White House, and they're upset because there is an age limit at all. They feel that if an 11-year-old decides that she wants to go and gets the day after, the morning after pill, then she should be able to go and do that. Some they even don't want the ID requirement to be added. Okay? So they don't care. I mean, what if a woman, she goes in there, she doesn't have her ID? What happens then? You know? So it's really crazy.
Listen,
because
I have to have an ID to come pick up a ticket to see a country show. I need to have an ID to pick up a morning after something. Hold on for a minute. I got a local call coming in. Local call, your mic is on.
Hey, good afternoon, Tracy. I'm loving your conversation today.
Oh, thanks a lot. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm out enjoying this beautiful weather.
Good going.
Yeah. You know, I want to throw my two cents in. Just this morning at a Bible study with a group of guys, we were talking about this very same thing. And all the way back 800 years before our Lord set foot on this earth, the prophet Isaiah talked about exactly what's happening today. And that's where they call evil good and good is evil. And when, as the gentleman before me pointed out, this girl can't go into a high school and ask the nurse for a Tylenol, yet she can walk into a local pharmacy and abort a child. We have a very sick, depraved society.
You are right. You are so very, very right. And, it just doesn't make sense.
Well, we're living in the end times, Tracy, and I'm not saying that tomorrow morning, you know, the world's coming to an end. I don't want to get into that kind of a silly conversation, but people who deny that there is a God or deny the reality of the Bible have never taken the time to just look at the fact that God's Word was written 800 years before Jesus set foot on this earth, and it's coming to fruition. That's just one incident, and you and I know well enough, having sat under good pastoral teaching, that there's incident after incident after incident that God warned his people. And it's not just his people, the nation of Israel, but those who he wants to bring into his kingdom. And that really is everybody. The only caveat is that you have to kneel before his son Jesus and ask for forgiveness for the wickedness of your heart. And until someone does that, there's no hope for them. And that's not me speaking. That's the word of God. Now, the people who choose to rebel against that will eventually stand before a holy and righteous God. If I'm wrong, that hasn't hurt my lifestyle one bit, because I choose to live that way every day, and I found that it's so much more beneficial than the way I lived the first 30 years of my life.
You got a point. And you know what? It's just that simple. But when
it really is. It's not about a bunch of religious rules and regulations and thou shalt not this and thou shalt do that. Those come with the territory. But once you become truly a born-again believer and trying to follow Jesus Christ, it's not that hard to do. I mean, we still make mistakes. We still make bad choices. But we have forgiveness, and we have grace on our side. And it's like the Apostle Paul said, not that we would continue to sin, God forbid, but that we're free from the free from the repercussions of our sin. That's covered. And that's what makes us different than the rest of the world.
I was talking to a guy this morning and who was giving a presentation, and we were talking about being grateful. And, you know, I don't know what people that don't have any faith, how they survive.
Yeah, that is a question that I really struggle with even today. I look at the world around us and the negative things that are happening, and, you know, I really don't understand it. I really believe that if I did not have the faith and the trust that God is sovereign, and even in the worst of times, he is still God and he is still loving, that I probably would have either become suicidal or some kind of a psychopathic killer.
Because, you know, life is hard. Do you not realize how hard life is? Just waking up in the morning and dealing with the people that you deal with, and you get up and you start every day off one way, and at the end of the day you look back over your day, and there's some things that go on that if you didn't have a belief system, you would go down the street buck naked screaming.
Wow, wouldn't that be a lovely sight? Wow.
I had to get a visual.
Yeah, that'll take about an hour and a half to wash that up.
And it's just amazing. And I look at the world right now that we live in. We're so upside down that our young people, we're not putting a sense of morality, a sense of faith, a sense of anything in them. We're just telling them, if it feels good, do it.
So the question is, when is this going to turn around? When's it going to end? You know, there was a story on the news yesterday where the Army is studying directives to court-martial soldiers who try openly practicing their religion in the army. Apparently it's against the rules to proselytize in the army, but they want to extend this to people like the chaplains in the army.
Correct.
And they're looking at this seriously. I can't believe they're looking at this seriously. What are they doing? What are they doing? I don't understand.
The same way you go into a football game and they don't want you to say, God bless our kids. I mean, just think about
that.
Yes, South Carolina.
That was going on back in the early 80s when I was in with a what they call a lay secret in the Marine Corps. They did not want you to prophesize, and you were the lay secret for the unit. You basically, you know, helping out the chaplain. If the chaplain had to do a service, an Islamic service, you were the lay speaker. You had to assist him in that service. So you were all things to all Marines. No matter what. If you were the lay speaker, you had to assist that chaplain in the service that he was doing.
Are you serious?
I'm serious about that. If it was a Catholic service, you had to do the, you know, help him do the sacraments in that way.
But what if I wasn't Catholic?
Too bad.
No, wait, hold up. You know what? If you're Catholic, you can't even take communion if you ain't Catholic. You go to
it doesn't make any difference if you're Catholic. The priest is.
No, you can't. You're not supposed to be an altar boy or altar girl if you're not Catholic.
Well.
One of the problems that I see with that particular issue is that God doesn't discriminate. Men do. And there again, and I don't mean to offend people who are of the Catholic faith, but when they try to exclude people who are not Catholic from taking Holy Communion, that's man's rules, not God's. Because Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me until I come again. And that was for anybody who has put their faith in Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter what door you walk through to worship Jesus, whether it be Protestant or Catholic, as long as it's a Christian-based organization, that unfortunately that type of exclusivity or exclusion that many of the mainline denominations have taken upon themselves, it's not real. And as a result, it's why we see the flight from church that we see today.
Well, we got a major flight going on. That's for sure.
You know what? All you have to do is sit down very quietly by yourself and begin to look through the book of Romans, and a lot of what we see taking place today is taken right out of the book of Romans. And there it gives the very strict warning that though they deny the very existence of God, it doesn't mean that it's not true. In other words, I can stand in the middle of my garage and say that I'm a Buick, but that doesn't make me a car.
Let me know if that works, okay?
I tried. And the same thing with people who say, oh, I'm a Christian. I think if they were held in court to that standard, my question is, would they be found guilty if we were accused of being a Christian in a court?
Yep. I remember there was a book out a few years back called Evidence That Demands a Verdict.
Yeah.
And it kind of talked on that level, that someone accused you of being a Christian in a court of law, would they be able to convict you by the evidence in your life?
Yeah, by the preponderance of evidence. And that should be, rather than an accusation, that should be a challenge to all of us who profess to be Christians. Does my life exemplify that the majority of the time? And we have to leave room, and I try to leave room, especially for others that fall short, because, you know, like many of us, we have judgmental spirits, and we shouldn't, but we do. But there's a scripture that a lot of people want to use, just the first half of it out of the book of Matthew, where it says, judge not lest ye be judged.
Yeah.
And everybody stops there.
Yeah.
But then it goes on and it says, for by the very measure which you judge, so shall you be judged. And I take that whole scripture in context for my own life. Because so many people said, oh, we can't judge what they're doing. Then that's saying we just have to numb ourselves to the point where we don't even realize what's right is right or what's wrong is wrong. And that's not what the scripture tells us. It says to be wise in your judgment.
But you see what's going on now. Because we're not even teaching right and wrong. Right and wrong. I mean, the normal rights and wrongs, just a simple, you know, 1 + 1 = 2 rights and wrongs.
Can I say something?
Yes, sure. You're more than welcome to jump in. Please do.
The problem I'm seeing with most Christians these days is that they don't say, I'm a Christian, I don't want to be involved. They don't want to be involved in politics. I'm staying out of trouble. Yet, when people go into this office and they make decisions that affect all of us, politics is a Greek word meaning people. So if you are a Christian, because I still believe that people that believe in God are more in number, but we just complain, and when it's time to actually make a difference, we sit down and do nothing about it. So we're going to be complaining for a long time.
Did you just say politics means people in Greek?
Yeah, it's a Greek word, many people. Politics is a Greek word.
Politics, no. Greek word, many people. Hear that, Mark?
Yeah, I didn't know that. That's good to know.
That's good to know. Thank you. Oh, man, you have no idea. That means I am a many people person.
You are, man. You are.
Yeah, it's funny because I've always put it in terms of a different way. Politics, if you're in politics, you're in the business of doing things for people.
You should be.
Making people secure, making people happy. And that's a hard lesson for some politicians to learn who basically they turn into self-preservation as opposed to anything else.
Well, that's because they're not there. They're not there for people. They lie.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, people are in the lying business right now. So they're not in the pulpit for people.
Yeah.
They're not at the altar for people.
Yeah.
And they're not in the political position for people. Everybody's turned these people places into selfish places. And anytime you put self before people, you lose.
And, you know, I don't even know if it's self. But, you know, there's a couple of these guys floating around right now who put ideology in front of people. They don't look at what it does to the people. I
But I don't think they care.
Did you say
Barack Obama?
There you go.
Well, I didn't want to go there, but that's certainly at the top of the list. But
is he not a reflection of a group of people that put themselves before anyone else? Because let me say this: a woman who aborts a child,
sure,
who is she putting first?
Herself.
And a country that puts the woman before the child and allows it to happen, are they not promoting selfishness?
Sure. And we certainly live in a selfish society today.
And so is not Barack Obama the manifestation of a group of people that we have today? Because we are living in a world that is just selfish, and we are not putting I am my brother's keeper. I am responsible for people outside of myself. And the day that I think that I'm not responsible for someone else, I'm responsible for my children. I'm responsible for my husband, and I'm responsible for my health, or myself.
Right.
But with myself, I can't be responsible for anyone else if I don't have self-respect.
Right.
And I've lost all of it.
Yeah.
And so all I want is gimme. Anything that's free, I take. Not realizing that everything has a price. Somebody's paying for everything that I have.
Yeah.
And I'm selfish because America has now put itself before, or selfishness before anything else.
Sure, sure. I agree 100%.
How do we change it?
Well,
you said accept, but I want to know what your exception was.
I don't know. you just got to get out there and bang your head against the wall. That's what you do every day. I do it my way every day. And try pointing things out to people. Sooner or later, I guess when the proverbial you know what hits the fan.
But you know what? We may get it, but by the time we get it, we may have lost so much time that we may not have the time to get it back, Mark.
Well, that's a little bit scary. I am feeling a little bit better these days than I was 6 months ago. I am watching what's going on right now, and I am watching a presidency self-destruct and fall down around him. You'll never have the media criticizing what he did, but the Democrats are now running from him like scared rabbits.
They're not running too far.
Yes, they are.
Where are they running?
Harry Reid yesterday in an interview said, and I almost fell out of my chair when I read it, he said that the power of the executive has grown too far. Too much power is concentrated in the president, and the legislature has to get it back. Now, for a Democrat to make that kind of a statement with the president, with the current president right now, that is a major, major thing. When you have Max Baucus running away from health care, saying it's going to be a train wreck, that's a major thing.
But they passed it.
They passed it, and now they're running from it.
They didn't read it. They didn't read the bill.
Well, they found out what's in it, didn't they? And now they're running from it. And they're going to, when the president of the United States is his major piece of legislation, all right, and gets in front of that news conference and says there's going to be glitches and bumps in the road, that translates it's going to be a train wreck. That's political speak. He knows there's problems coming, and that's real, real bad. And the media will never criticize the guy, but I watched some of the coverage of the bombers on CNN, and I'm kind of amazed at what I've seen there. They're actually reporting the news, which is something they didn't do before. At least they're reporting the news now for people to make their own conclusions.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. I don't know who. Do you think that they're reporting the news now, Mark?
I think that if you look at what they're reporting on CNN, people can come to the conclusions that networks like Fox News overtly say that there's a problem. And this terrorist who blew these terrorists who blew these people up at the Boston Marathon has become flashpoint of every liberal failure in America and shows the travesty and failure of that approach to government, because everything bad came together in one place, and the story just keeps getting worse. If anyone's paying attention, and only about 40% of the public is, they're going to come to the conclusion, what's going on here, what has happened that allowed this to happen? And how many more of them are floating around? I'm floored at what I'm hearing with this mess.
Local call, you agree with that?
Yeah, but I'm taking a whole different tack on what's going on currently, Tracy, and it has to do with my personal faith beliefs.
Go ahead.
I hear you talk about, you know, turning things around and making things better. But if it does happen, it's going to be so temporary, because we're not destined for this earth. And I know this is going to be misconstrued by many of the people listening to it. It may sound like I'm a nutcase, and that's okay. But my hope is not in the things of this world any longer. I'll work every day like I always do, try to do as little harm to other people as possible in my everyday life, to live a life that would be pleasing to the Lord and honoring to my Lord Jesus Christ. But in the end, the results are going to be what they are. Our nation has turned its back on God, and then they wonder, why are we living in such a decadent society? We are reaping what we've sown. And it cannot get any better until and if people repent. And repentance means turning from your current way of life that is repulsive and hurtful to God, and coming back to His way of doing things. And we can't expect the politicians in our lives any more than our next-door neighbor to do something that they are within themselves incapable of doing. It's going to take an act of God, and that means a change of heart. And it doesn't. There's so much more to it, but that's where I'm coming from. To me, it's futile to try to change our government, to change our way of life. The only thing we need to do is get our lives right with what the Bible says we should be doing, and that's pointing people to Jesus Christ and trusting him for the outcome, no matter what it is, because we're all limited by the years we live on this earth. And unless somebody has some special formula to start living 1,000 years on this earth, well, most of us are limited to 100 years, give or take. Most of us under 70, and that's the end of it.
But now,
then comes the question: where do you spend eternity?
But let me ask this, because I was having breakfast yesterday with some people, and they were, you know, they're Christians, they're born again Christians, and we were having breakfast, and the conversation came up, and we were talking, and they said, Tracy, I heard Jonathan Kahn on your program, and he was talking about the warnings. And he said,
yes.
Don't you think that we can change this so that we don't have to go through this? And I said, no. And then I began to think about this, and as we began to talk, we began to say, not on my watch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know Jesus is coming, and I know judgment is coming, and I understand all that. But does America have to go down first? You know, I use the same analogy.
Well,
you know, I use the same analogy with African Americans. You know, I know things are going bad, but do we always have to be the first in line? Do we always have to? I mean, what? Can't we?
Well,
do we have to go down with the ship? Because you know,
here's,
I know.
Here's one thing you got to look at, Tracy. Look into the Book of Revelation. And it tells about what it's going to look like when Christ comes again. And there's nothing in there that would even allude to the fact of the nation of the United States. We are non-existent in the history that has been written in the Book of Revelation.
But Dave, my question is, see, this is my problem. And so you can call me. I was talking about selfishness a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
See, I have found out something that I did not realize, that America can go down, and the world can still exist. And
You betcha.
Okay.
You betcha.
Okay, so this is my problem. I'm only 48 years old, and my family has a real, real long, long bloodline. We live a long time. We don't die.
Yeah.
And so the last thing I would want is for America to go down and Jesus not to come.
Yeah.
Because if America becomes a third world country and I'm still living, that means it rains on the just as well as the unjust. And I trust God for my daily supply, and I know that he can meet all of my needs according to his riches and glory. But one thing I do enjoy, I enjoy electric lights. I enjoy toilets that flush, and I enjoy that water that comes out of the spigot. I enjoy cars that move. And I enjoy freedoms that I have, that I can actually say Jesus Christ on a radio program and no one come in and beat me.
Okay, so that's been the case, Tracy. You have enjoyed that. I've enjoyed that. The majority of the people listening to this radio program have enjoyed that. But at the same time, as a nation, and that comes all the way down to individuals, me included, we've squandered our inheritance.
But see, that's what I'm saying. But see, that's what I'm saying, Dave. We got to stop this train, because I do not, really, I don't want to live in a world without Christ. And I don't want to live. I don't want to live in America without God. And I don't want to live in America that has become a third world country taken over by Islam, because that means I'm going to die a horrible death. And
that's
that
a possibility.
I know.
The question is, in dying, will you remain faithful to your commitment to Jesus Christ?
I pray that the same tenacity and the same commitment that I have to Jesus right now, I would be willing to have my head cut off for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But let me say this. When I look at who all died, who preached the word of, when I look how Paul died, Stephen died by getting stoned.
Eleven of the apostles died as martyrs.
Right. So let me.
The apostle,
Dave,
I forget who the apostle was. There was only one that died
John.
A natural death.
John is the only one that died a natural death.
That's right. Yeah,
you can,
died in the aisle.
You
yeah,
can
yeah.
call me selfish. You can call me a lot of things. But you know what?
You're human.
I don't like pain. So if I can stop this train before it gets off the track, because I see it on the track. Don't get me wrong. I'm with you. I see
yeah.
it.
Sissy, can
I really don't want to. Oh, what'd you say, South Carolina?
Can I say something in
yes.
Texas?
Hold on, Dave. Hold on, Dave. Go ahead, Ozazi.
When you talk to a lot of people, they share the same concern that you have. And from talking to people, Christian and people that love this country are in majority. But where are we during election? Because democracy is a rule of the mob. Votes are counted, but not weighed. So it does not matter how genuine your opinion is, how valuable, how intelligent, how articulate. If you are fewer in number, you just stay at home during election. It's not going to amount to anything. No, so that is my problem I'm having with it. There are people that love America. They love not having sanity in the system. But why is it not reflecting in election? That's my question.
They're lying. They don't love
you got a point there. He's got a point there. He said, why does it not reflect the election? But what we're saying.
Yeah, because you can't vote. You don't wait. You don't. It does not mean who is more intelligent. It's who is more in number. That is democracy. It's rule of the mob.
You got a point there. 261, your mic is on.
Tracy.
Yes.
You know right off the bat, people in this country don't love this country. You have to make them love this country. And you know it, and I know it. And living in a country without no God, if that's the case, you got to get on your job and get out there and push more. If the Muslims are pushing more than you, you ain't pushing enough. Still there?
Yeah, we're here.
what happened? I've never seen you so quiet before.
Dave, I have nothing to say.
Well, there's nothing to say. Like the guy said, people love money more than they do this country, period.
But for the love of money, the love of money is the root of all evil, and you see it coming
the
into fruition.
Not the
no,
love,
the love.
The
no,
of
the
it.
Love of them. No, no, that's
the
not
lack.
What it
there's
says.
Plenty money, Craig, there's plenty money here.
It says for the love of money.
Well, people love money more than they do God. That ain't a brainer. What?
I don't.
Oh, please.
I know.
See, that's what problem creates. If people like you would just stand up and just make a choice, you're not going to mix government and politics and religion. It ain't going to mix. You know it ain't
yes,
going to mix.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. That's where you are so wrong, and you know we
that's
disagree on that.
So right.
That's why we, you are so
day.
Wrong. Goodbye. Go ahead.
Okay,
go
bye.
Ahead. Go 518. Hey, Rick.
Tracy, what's happening? Listen, I don't know how that whole issue works there, but I do know this. I think what we have is a dilemma, and it's, I thought it was a young people's issue. It's not a young person's issue. It's people in general. This the country, whether Christianity is there, whether the country falls apart right in front of our face, the issue is now. You guys remember that Candy Now and Later? We have a generation of people that have a problem with the word later. And the generation, once again, it's not for just the people that were born in the 90s. It's even for the people that were born back in the 60s and the 50s and the 40s if you're still alive, and the 30s and 20s if you're still alive. I think everyone faces that one word issue in their life now. And our country has been living off of this word now, but still there was somebody that saw later. And they made plans for later to happen that would affect what we're living in now. So, Tracy, maybe we don't see. Maybe we don't see the country fall apart while we're alive. But maybe our children see it. Maybe our children's children see it. And because they had no idea of what was set up before them, they'll never understand how they got there. Therefore, they'll know not how to get out of there. And that's, I believe that's our dilemma.
I don't know.
Right?
I'm here.
Huh?
I don't know. I don't know. All I know is we're leaving everything up to chance. And I know. Yes, we are. Because right now, the people, coming from the local call's point of view, and because what he's saying about we need to be pressing towards the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, that's pretty much what he's saying. So the question is, I still have to be concerned about what goes on here on the in the earth because God has given me dominion. The question is, why is it, as Ozazi said, did I give him his name right yet? I'm working on it. What he said was, we have the opportunity to vote because we live in a democracy, yet we won't get engaged in the process to change it, to make it reflect that which we want it to reflect. And we are allowing other people to control it.
Well,
and
Tracy,
that is just ludicrous.
Yeah, and Tracy, you know,
yeah?
I had a doctor's appointment today, and I got a chance to talk to my doctor. And she was, I just asked her, I said, what do you think about the health care bill? And in so many words, she said, it sucks. She said they've done the wrong thing. They've given, you know, they've thrown money at a situation. And what they should have done, instead of giving people phones, free phones, what they should have given is a pedometer and a book on how to eat healthy.
No, what they need to do is they need to get out of people's business and quit. See, we know how to fix the problem. The fixing the problem is empowering people and educating them. We know what it takes to make the system work. We know what's broken. We know how to fix that which is broken. The problem is we have too many people who don't want it fixed because you control people by keeping them ignorant. You control people by keeping them amused. You control.
That's my concern.
And what I'm saying is
that is a very insecure person, Tracy.
What?
That's a very insecure person that has to control somebody else in order to get things done.
And what I'm saying is, so let's look at our political system. Tell me why. You know a child cannot read in third grade, yet you don't do anything about it. You know that you have a systemic problem in your inner cities about economic development, but you don't do anything about it. You know that you know that pregnancy and pregnancy or single family pregnancies is not good for stability. But instead of encouraging abstinence and self-control, they tell you to just, if it feels good, do it. You know that you can actually fix to where people who want same-sex unions can have them. They can swing some chandeliers, and they can give their benefits and their medical rights away, and they can do whatever is necessary, just like a married person, but they don't want that anymore.
But Tracy, can I say this? And this is going to sound so silly, but just follow me. The people that know, understand the urgency of now, where the people that don't know, don't realize now is important. And so we're missing out on now. We're missing out here. I don't know if other cities across the country are getting ready to elect a mayor or a senator or a congressman, but that's what's getting ready to happen here, Trace. And honestly, as much as I'd like to think that while the people are on the campaign trail here, there are so many people that really just don't give a care because they don't understand how much it's affecting them now.
Because,
they don't realize.
Because I have not educated you enough for you to
know.
No. Listen,
they
you have to understand.
Know.
No, the reason why they don't know is because I haven't educated you to know.
If you looked at some of the statistics that I saw on TV this morning, it's almost mind-boggling. 46% of Americans, don't know that Obamacare is now the law, let alone what it is. They're going to be surprised. They're going to wake up the first of the year, and the IRS is going to be banging on their door. You've got 46% of Americans that could not identify a picture of Joe Biden. Absolute ignorance. We have gotten and have lulled ourselves into a complacency that they think that there's this country secure from all harms and ills of the world when it's not. And these people are going to have a rude awakening when the truth hits them, because they're going to sit there and say, nobody told me that, and I don't know what to do about that.
Again,
but sir, if you would listen, you're giving them too much credit by saying they think that this country is secure. I don't think that's what it is. I think people generally don't fight until they feel like they have to. And so, as far as
Rick,
they're concerned,
Rick, you're not thinking about
the security of the country.
Rick, you don't listen. It comes from the core of knowledge. With all thy getting, get an understanding. We make sure that we lead. See, we have people who are knowledgeable and ignorant at the same time. We do not understand that we have democracy and a representative government, and freedom is a responsibility of having a knowledgeable electorate. The whole deal with democracy is having an intelligent electorate that understands what they're doing in the electoral process.
I like they're not going to tell you everything
Rick,
that you think you want to know.
Rick, going back to the conversation on yesterday, as I said, we have made too much money on keeping people ignorant and uninformed. And as long as you're ignorant and uninformed, I can sell you as fodder. I can buy and sell you as slaves. There's a reason that they did not want slaves, whether you be black or white, to have an education. Because as long as you can read and comprehend and be a critical thinker, then I cannot control you. But once you give that power up, I have total power over you. And you see it happening.
Let's do this. How many of you people on the phone buy water? Bottled water. How many of you people buy bottled water?
Many of us.
We do.
Why? Because aren't you paying your water bills at home?
Yeah, we're paying that too.
Oh, but you go out and you buy a bottle of water. Why?
Convenience.
Why? Why is it so convenient for you to buy a bottle of water when most of us on the phone are spending a minimum of $100 for water, right?
Because, again, we are saying convenience. But listen, there's one, it's the ignorance of the electorate.
You know, there are people that can't drink the water that they have at their home. It's only good enough for other uses, maybe washing up. Some people don't like the way it tastes. Whatever it may be, when they control certain things, I'm using water as my example to say, when they control certain things, when you think you have an option, you find out, oh, no, I really
don't
have an
option. But you do. Let's be real about this. One thing we know, that if you get thirsty enough and you don't have any water and you don't have any way to get water,
you'll yourself drink
tap water. But this is what's happening right now. This is what's going on in America right now. We are taking the water that we're getting for granted, and people are manipulating us into an ignorant form of entertainment to where we don't know anything but Snooki, American Idol, and The Voice, and all these stupid reality shows. And we are being lulled to sleep. And while we are sleeping, they are preparing for our demise. And we are walking right back into a slavery that you think you're free in, because we have not accepted the freedoms that we once had. So when I talk to Dave and Dave says we need to look because Jesus is coming, absolutely. But Jesus is coming, but he has given me domain and power, so that I can actually move forward a democracy in America and stand for righteousness. The question is, where are the people who are called by the name of God standing when it comes for democracy? And are we standing on the right side? No, we're not, because we're too engrossed in being greedy.
Tracy.
And that's for the preacher?
Freedom is options. Freedom is options. I like
no,
that.
It's
freedom
not an
is
option.
Options. But liberty means knowing when to submit your will, because there are options that you just should
Rick,
not take.
That's semantics, sweetheart. Liberty is freedom. That's what it means.
No, they're not the same thing. They're not. Since I used
when?
To think they were the same thing. They're not the same thing.
When did they become different?
They are not. We try to define them
as
the same thing, but
hold
they're
on.
Not the same
hold
thing.
Hold on, Rick. Rosaldi, I hear you laughing. What are you laughing about?
I don't know where he's coming from. So if liberty is not freedom, liberty is free from all kinds of oppression, all kinds of limitations, and all kinds of just dictatorship. So if that is not freedom, I don't know what is freedom. Maybe we are looking at different English dictionary. So that's why I'm laughing.
Well, here, let's define it like this. I think there's a difference between a grown-up and an adult. Now, you'll say, well, why? Why? A grown-up is an adult. An adult is a grown-up. But no, they're not the same thing. A grown-up says, I can do what I want to do when I want to do it. The adult says, yes, I can do what I want to do, but now I have to be responsible. Liberty says, I've got responsibility that freedom has permitted me. And most people don't understand. You can be free, but you can be the most irresponsible free person in the world.
Rick. You're trying to be philosophical in a topic. Listen, what I'm saying, because we got to go in 4 minutes.
Thank you.
We need to take time out to learn about what's going on in the world around us. We need to read more and ask more questions. And we need to teach our young people to do so. We need to get engaged in the process and quit letting the process engage us. That's real talk.
Yeah, I want to be free. I want to be me is what they used to sing back in the 60s. I want to be free.
Rick.
Look at them now.
No, that's not true. The hippies and the flower people and the feminist movement of the 60s, they are the ones who are trying to steer this ship as the progressives today.
They are steering the ship.
No, they're not.
The ship is floundering. There's nobody steering the ship right now. It's just floundering around
in the ocean.
There's
no face steering the ship, but there are a whole lot of hands that have control over this ship.
But no. See, the question is, all the people have to do is wake up and rock the boat.
And so the question is, Tracy, what wakes the people up? When will they wake up? What's it going to take?
January 1st, 2014, when they go to do their income taxes and they realize that they're going to have to pay $1,500 because they don't have health insurance, they're going to take that out of their return if there's a return left.
And if they have to pay
money back, they're going to add that onto the bill. That's when people will wake up and say, what the H-E-double hockey stick is going on? There ain't no way in Haiti I'm going to pay that.
That's what's going to be interesting, because the interesting thing is going to be, if there's going to be mass noncompliance, which is what I think is going to happen here, it's going to be a fiasco, but I'm sure going to have fun watching it.
Me too.
And I keep telling the organizations I belong to, folks, and I work with a lot of 501c3s and a lot of organizations, if you're going to be relying on donations next year and in 2015 from people, good luck with that, because you ain't going to see a dime.
Hey, listen, I'm gone, guys. We'll see you on tomorrow. God bless you. Tomorrow's open mic. Jeff and I will be here. We'll bring that topic back up again, because I think South Carolina was on there. People are going to be so shocked when they get that $1,500 bill on the 1st.
Thank you, Tracy. Thank you.
Listen, you're always welcome to come and spend time with us. His name is Azani.
He got her.
It's called The Thrill of the Rookie.
Yes, ma'am.
You can find it at Barnes & Noble, Amazon.
And
you can Google it. But it's called The Thrill of the Rookie.
It's also Kindle on Amazon.
Kindle?
Yeah.
And we'll
buy it through Kindle. You can buy a Kindle version of it.
Oh, wonderful.
It's wonderful, yeah.
We'll see you guys. See you tomorrow. God bless.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
SOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
We have a responsibility to stop doing the things that are wasteful and that are ineffective.
Governor Martin O'Malley.